Your ride from the high desert and the great American Southwest, exclusively on Sirius XM Radio. This is Dark Matter with your host, Art Bell. Now, here's Art.
Extra terrestrial radio, baby. Hi, I'm Art Bell. And this is Dark Matter. And it will be Dark Matter indeed this night. The Ghostbuster gals are here. Kind of devil and angel thing. One's a Wiccan, the other's an angel. That should make for quite a combination, I would say. Some pretty interesting stuff on tap, I guarantee. Well, there was no default, and that's good. And our government is back open again. I don't know if that's good or bad. It just is. By the way, our friends at Sirius XM are working diligently and hard, they tell me, at curing this cutoff problem that those of you that are streaming are having. I understand the frustration. Truly, I do. All right, the standard reminders for October. Ghost Picture Contest. Guess what? It ends Sunday. If you want to get in on the Ghost Picture Contest, coming to you as a winner, I say again as a winner, judged by this audience, because you can go up there and vote, or you're going to be able to. It all ends at noon Sunday, so if you don't have your ghost photograph in, you don't stand a chance of winning a Sirius XM radio, brand new, and a year's subscription to the service. So if you've got a good ghost picture, now is the time to send it through the porthole to webmaster at artbell.com. That's the address you send it to, webmaster at artbell.com. Ghost stories? Oh, yes. Yes, Spooky Matters is going to be the name of our Halloween show. And if you've got a ghost story, then here's the way it's going to work. Send me a very brief summary of your ghost story. Brief is good. And include your phone number, and then on Spooky Matter night, we'll call you. We'll call you. So if you have a ghost story, send it to Art Bell at artbell.com. Art Bell at artbell.com. You've got a lot of reason to go to artbell.com, and I'm going to give them to you right now. The first one is, I think, breaking news. I got it. Somebody put it on my timeline, and I went, oh, my God. It is, it is a NASA photograph of a UFO. A UFO, by definition, is an unidentified flying object. And believe me, this is unidentified. Now, there are some who said that NASA pulled the photograph. I don't know. It was taken back in January of 2013, and it is too clear. So I'm sure many of you out there will say, it's got to be photoshopped, right? I don't know. It's mind-boggling. No question about it, mind-boggling, and it's at artbell.com right now. NASA took the photograph. So if you have arguments with the clarity of the photograph or the provenance of the photograph, argue with NASA. Does that make sense? I really, really suggest you take a look at artbell.com, and whoever put that on my Facebook's timeline, thank you. Now, the next thing is going to concern my guests tonight. And I'm almost hesitant to send you to my website to see this because this thing scared me. I don't scare easily, but this scared the hell out of me, honestly. It involves the following story sent to me by somebody identifying himself as Steve only. But we all know the story is true. We just didn't have all these details. Now, I guess I'll read the story first, all right? First off, says Steve Roswells. Thank you, Steve. Been listening to you, he said, for over a decade. Love the show. Have something here you really need to take a look at. It happened recently at the Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles, which is most infamous for being the hotel that Richard the Night Stalker Ramirez made his residence. Serial killer, right? He goes on, in any event, my email is concerning the mysterious death of Canadian tourist Elisa Lam. Lam, who was only 21 years old, was last seen at the Cecil Hotel on January 31, according to L.A. police. Her parents reported her missing, and sadly her body was discovered nude and floating in the water tower of that hotel, a drinking source for residents, where she apparently had been for 2 weeks. Now, if you can believe it, here's where the story gets really disturbing. Lam's final moments were caught on the elevator security camera at the hotel. The footage I'm linking to you was taken moments before her death. Moments. In it, you're going to see Lam acting very strangely, mind you. No drugs or alcohol were ever found in her system at all. She appears to be running or maybe hiding from someone or something. Most perplexing about the video is that the door stays open the entire time, nearly 4 minutes. Then Lam contorts into some really frightening way that has to be seen to be described, and the elevator doors finally shut, then open and shut several times before the video ends. Watch the video. Then I'll tell you about how this story gets even stranger. And I'll just tell you now. The video is on my website. It's going to send chills up and down your back, folks, as you watch it. And you've got to watch the whole thing. You really do. Last moments of this girl's life. Anyway, Steve goes on. A maintenance worker discovered the body while looking into complaints about the water pressure in the building. Oh, God. Guests had been drinking and bathing with that water contaminated by a body that had been decomposing for 2 weeks. So how did she get there? The water tower on top of that building was 15 feet high and locked. To gain access to said tower, Lam would have had to have passed silently through two locked and alarmed doors first. Apparently, she did so, somehow. All doors were still locked. That's after her death. No alarms were ever tripped. There are hundreds of stories about this on the internet, reported by every reputable news agency there is. Some people say she was possessed or perhaps attacked by a ghost. If this is the case, then it's the only known footage of such an occurrence. And then he provides yet more links to the same story. And what I'm recommending to you, if you can handle it, is that you go to artbell.com, and there's no audio with the video. It's video only. Don't stop with a little bit. Watch the whole thing. And then, of course, we will consult with my upcoming guests on the matter. They should be well qualified to look into it. My guests consist of Ronnie Renee Foster and Laura Lee Mystica. Hope I got that right. So, Ronnie Renee Foster, also known as Angel Girl, she's the good one. Good cop, bad cop, right? Angel Girl has been involved in the world of metaphysics and spirituality for over 30 years. She has a BA in psychology and her certification as an emergency medical technician. For the past 15 years, Ronnie has been president of the Spokane chapter of the Twilight Brigade Compassion in Action. That's Danyon Brinkley's hospice volunteer organization that serves the dying. She is now a national trainer. Receiving her insights and inspiration from the angelic realm, Ronnie is a teacher, empath, intuitive counselor, medium, professional, international ghostbuster. Professional international ghostbuster. I love that. And Laura Lee Mystica, a.k.a. Witchy Woman. witchy woman. Yeah. She's a solitary practitioner in Wicca, as well as other magical and spiritual methods, but recently has morphed into more of a futuristic sorceress in her efforts to outwit the dark lords who hijack this planet. By developing her own magic rituals and tools, she is able to reverse spells, curses, black magic, voodoo, and is skilled in clearing all types of psychic, organic, and metallic implants using Amorosite, I believe it is, the Stone of Truth and Justice. Laura Lee has been a professional Ghostbuster with her partner Ronnie now for over a decade. What a duo, huh? And is the author and publisher of 3 books and the creator of 3 websites. So, I would like to start by bringing the Ghostbuster gals on the air and say hello to both of you.
Hello, Art. Hey, Art. Thank you for that. Very interesting.
Let me see if I can, the introduction, let me see if I can identify you by voice. That's going to be important. Ronnie, say something.
Something.
Okay. Laura.
Yes, Art, thank you for calling me the bad one. Ronnie's the good one and I'm the bad one.
Listen, I was married to a Wiccan. There's nothing wrong with being a Wiccan. So I know all about it. You know, it's like good cop, bad cop a little bit, right?
She's not bad.
I'm just drawn that way.
It was an endearing term, trust me.
I definitely know. I'm giving you a hard time.
All right, Ronnie, I think that we booked you to the program here officially on September 4th. Actually, I believe my producer, Paul, began talking to you back on August 29th and booked you solidly on September 4th. Is that about right?
Oh, that sounds about right. I don't do dates real well, but that sounds about right.
We looked it up.
Okay, good.
So, if you would please, in your own words, apparently, you called my producer last night with some very distressing news. And in your own words, would you tell us what happened, please?
Yes. We were also booked on Coast to Coast. I think you're familiar with that show.
I've heard of it. On what date were you booked on Coast, out of curiosity?
We were booked for October 29th.
Oh, the way out to the 29th. Okay.
Way out to the 29th. And their producer had called to see if we could do 2 hours instead of one, because the last 4 years they gave us 1 hour, and
one
now
hour
they
only.
Were gonna, yeah, they were gonna increase us to 2 hours, and we were pretty happy about that.
Well, good.
Yeah, until I think it was Monday, I got a call from their producer, and
oh. Who would that be?
Tommy
Danheiser.
Yep. Uh-huh. We
okay.
call him Tommy D.
Tommy, yeah, Tommy called. And what did Tommy say?
You know, he said that he'd been doing some research on the net, and mm-hmm. he had found that we were booked on the Art Bell Show.
And well, actually, it's Dark Matter, but you know.
Yes, it's Dark Matter. I think that he still used your name, since it's okay. such a famous name. he said he saw that we were going to be guests on your show, and I was saying, right. yeah, we're real happy about it. And he said, well, you know, we can't have you doing our show if you're going to be doing his show, because it's the same material, and it's just not, and it's close. You know, it's in close proximity to it. And I said, well, Tommy, you know, we're not doing your show till the end of the month, and
right.
we're talking
right.
about something different.
Right.
And it's something we're not going to be even talking about, although now we can. We're going to talk about pet ghosts. I said, I don't see what the problem is. And he
right.
said, well, you know, it's a competitive type thing, and he tried to give me some examples that made no sense
mm-hmm.
to me.
Okay.
And he said, well, you can't do both shows.
In other words, he was saying, in essence to you, cancel Art Bell?
Yeah, if you want to be on our show, you can't be on Art's.
So he was saying cancel Art Bell or you're canceled here?
Yep. In essence, that's basically what it was. We had the choice.
And so you said, no, I'm going on Art Bell?
I said to him, I'll tell you what, I'm going to talk to Laura Lee and I'll get back with you. And then Laura Lee and I talked to, and we said, there's no way we're going to be canceling Art Bell. No way in heck.
Especially after your webmaster did such a wonderful job of posting our information. I mean, you just got a top-notch webmaster, and we were really impressed with that.
Absolutely.
Keith is something else. He really is. He's the best at what he does, I guarantee. Look, girls, I want to thank you for your integrity. I'm serious about that. I want to thank you for your integrity. I guess it was Tom that called you, but, you know, I don't understand it. There are such strange things going on. Actually, even before I started the show and then after the show, they were moving guests around to just before the night before our guests and stuff like that. And I even spoke to Richard C. Hoagland recently, and, you know, he hasn't heard from that other show since Richard has been here on Dark Matter. Not even a word, not even a hello. And so I don't get it. At any rate, I want to thank you very, very much for your integrity. And I do want to note that even though I guess it was Tommy you mentioned that called you, George has publicly said that he controls who gets on and who doesn't get on his show as far as guests are concerned. So hold tight, gals, and we'll be right back. I'm Art Bell, raging in the night with Dark Matter. Right, back now are Ronnie and Laura, Ghostbuster gals, and we're going to, I hope you've had an opportunity to go to artbell.com and watch that video. Actually, see the NASA UFO, which is, NASA took a picture of a UFO. So that and, of course, the elevator video in its entirety, I think, is one of the most chilling things I've ever seen in my whole life. I got the heebie-jeebies, I guess it was after reading this and then watching that video, and so I would very much appreciate both of you commenting on, I don't know, I thought she was being influenced by something very external, a ghost, maybe, some sort of something. What do you gals think?
Well, I do agree that the video is very disturbing, and you know, even as a Ghostbuster, the first thing I try to do is find a rational explanation. I try to stay away from ghosts as an answer. And as I tried to do that, my angels told me, there are some ghosts at play here. As I watched it, for some reason, the word serial killer came to my mind. I wasn't sure why. And what was going on, and it wasn't until after that I learned that there were a couple serial killers that stayed at that hotel that it started to make sense. But here's what I believe did not happen, okay? I do not think a ghost killed her and picked her up and took her through all those gates and brought her up to the tower and dropped her in there. I don't think it was a ghost. Now, that being said, because one of the hits I got was it's somebody that worked at the hotel, okay? But then I looked at that and went, oh, something's not quite right there. So what I determined, and this is just from my own perspective, was that there was a ghost. Okay, and it was the ghost of a serial killer, which then brought that into play, that was influencing a physical human being that worked there in a way of possession. Okay, and the reason that he targeted Elisa was that she reminded him of a prostitute that had crossed him a long time ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you about this part of it. Okay, so you're saying somebody in the hotel is what you suspect. Mm-hmm. But if you look at her behavior, she was obviously, well, remember now, they did an autopsy, no drugs or alcohol involved, none of that. And when you look at her, she appeared to be, I hate to use the word possessed, but she was certainly, she's definitely not acting normally, right?
Yeah, she was manipulated. She was scared to death. You could see the fear.
Yes.
And now Laura Lee's going to take over that part.
About what we, and this is in our book called Got Ghosts, we have a definition of terminology, and what we people would call a possession, we call a shove-in, where a spirit will literally shove into a body and take the microphone, and they're in charge. And we
You mean like of a talk show host?
Yeah, like that.
You throw around the word microphone, scares me even more.
You're so funny.
So the resident being that's in there, sometimes they try to get the microphone back, and sometimes they just stay in the background because they're scared, and sometimes they leave. And so we feel like whoever was working at the hotel was influenced by a shove-in, and we both felt like they don't even know about what happened. If you ask them what happened on that day, they probably couldn't even tell you because they can't remember because they weren't there.
So Laura Lee feels that Elisa was manipulated. She kept saying, like a puppet.
Right. I'll just tell you a few things about this. I've got to get more information. But there is a conglomerate of very, very powerful and manipulative beings in the universe that I call cryptos, and they are...
Repeat the name, please.
Crypto. And
crypto.
They use
okay.
encryptions to change and manipulate and control things. And this whole scenario had crypto written all over it. And if you look at what the outcomes of this bizarre incident were, it's total fear and disbelief. And it's like Ronnie and I were discussing earlier. Ronnie was detecting a portal there that was, she described it really funny, like it's a candy store for these really horrible, nasty beings that are trying to cause mayhem here. And so what happens is through this portal, all sorts of horrible things happen. All the people in the hotel were scared. All the people around the hotel were scared. Everybody in the town was scared.
I'm scared, and I'm just watching the video.
You're scared.
It is very, very upsetting. I mean, when you just sit and quietly watch that video, you realize that you're watching somebody not under the influence of drugs or alcohol and somebody not in control of themselves
exactly.
at all. Not and, at all.
And what I was sensing with these cryptos is, because I checked in with her to see if she had crossed over. She didn't.
She didn't cross over to the you mean the other side.
Right. She never did. And
oh, God.
So I thought, okay, we got to help her. Well, then I was checking to see, is she in a spirit trap? And I was getting no, but there's something else at play here. And it's like it's like there's a puppet master that is controlling a whole lot of people to do a whole lot of really dark, dark stuff. Now, the thing is, in order to unravel the mystery, they have a whole bunch of checks and balance systems and booby traps, and you have to know where the tripwires are. You have to be really savvy in order to go in It's like I told Ronnie, I've got to get really clear before I try to go in and help her because some really crazy stuff is going on with this.
I'm sure that this kind of thing probably happens all the time. It just doesn't get caught
on camera.
On camera all the time. And
exactly.
I mean, we're seeing this young lady just moments before she died, and I think it's the creepiest thing I've ever seen in some ways. It totally gave me the chills watching it.
Well, yes. It is creepy because your intuition tells you there's something more going on than just somebody getting in and out of an elevator. And that whole network of creepy, crawly cryptos that are doing this. I'm probably going to get some really bad backlash for saying as much as I have.
Don't worry about backlash. I'm used to it. My skin now is getting so thick.
I bet.
From backlash.
I bet. So, she gets psychically attacked. Fortunately, they don't mess with me because I'm the angel girl. And she, I call her the queen of weird stuff.
Stuff. Yeah.
Stuff. The queen of weird stuff because it's her expertise, and that's why she does take on the dark. You were so right when you said good cop, bad cop, because, you know, I'm the good little sweet angel, and I work with the real, just regular ghosts that are very easy to deal with, and then there's Loralee.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. The regular ghosts, that's quite a line to start with, regular ghosts, and it's really easy to deal with. What do you mean by regular ghosts? Can you define that for me?
Oh, I can, because a lot of people, they don't really understand what a ghost is. And so from our experience, and I always want to give a disclaimer, okay, so we've been doing this together for 10 years and have experience for 30 years, but we know we don't have all the answers and we don't think anybody does. But from our experience, a ghost is something that is attached to a physical human being.
Right.
So when a physical person dies, as they say, but we don't believe in death, the soul leaves the body. And there are two things that can actually happen. You know, if they had like a really decent life and they're, you know, they don't have a lot of fear and they're good people with positive foundational beliefs about the afterlife or whatever.
So would those two things be up or down?
No. No, there is no down.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. It's up or it's not up enough.
All right, there are levels of up, but there's no down. Okay, I've got it. I think I've got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is they cross over, and we say cross over because there's a tunnel. There's a tunnel that forms when every single person, you know, makes their transition. And if they have that good life and they have good, they don't have any real unresolved issues, they've got love and compassion or peace, if they're around in that, then they see that tunnel home. And they can have escorts. It could be the angels. It could be their loved ones that come to get them. It could be their pets. And it takes them to, quote, unquote, the other side. Now, if a person dies with a lot of pain, extreme fear, in shock, in guilt, a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, unresolved issues, all that stuff, that lower vibrational stuff, they don't get to see the tunnel home even though it's there. They're in so much fear that they just don't get to see it, and they get trapped between the worlds. Daniel calls it the blue-gray place. We just call it stuck between the worlds. And
well, all right, but they're not exactly stuck between the worlds in the sense that they're apparently still here on Earth, even if we can't see them.
Yes, but they don't have physical bodies.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, in your opinion, a ghost could be a person who has died. They may not even realize they're dead at first.
Oh, yeah.
And then I guess would this be true, gals, that whatever they were in life, you know, a nice person or a grumpy person and an angry person, they're same thing on the other side?
Absolutely. Oh, you hit it right on the head, Art. That's what we want people to understand, and that's what we've come across when people call us in and they say they have demons. And we go, and what we find is that basically it was a person that was an ass soul here in the physical.
An ass soul.
And the, an ass
soul. That's funny.
I do. I like that, yes.
You like that? Yeah, that's lovely.
Yes, I can apply it immediately, actually.
Yes. And they become ass souls. In the, as ghosts. And so what they want to do is they want to create a lot of pain, a lot of disturbances, a lot of anger, and they feed on it. They actually feed on all that negativity. And so when this man, who I believe the visions that I got, I'll just share that with you.
Please, yes.
This was a man that worked at the hotel. He was a big physical man. He was not very bright. He liked to visit prostitutes himself. So there's like a connection with this prostitute energy. And he got taken over by this serial killer who I guess killed prostitutes. And he scared the heck out of poor Elisa. She was absolutely scared. And I believe that he somehow rendered her unconscious. He carried her up to the top of that building. He unlocked all the locks because he worked there, and it's how he manipulated the elevator. I believe he put his key in and wouldn't allow the elevator door to close. Carries her up there, takes her clothes off, and the vision is so nauseating. I'm so sorry because I get so physically ill sometimes when I see this. But he took her clothes off, and he grabbed her by the wrists and lowered her into that water container, that tower.
This was after he killed her?
No, she was alive.
Oh, my God.
She was unconscious. And so then, here she is in this freezing cold water. She's naked. She wakes up. She's just absolutely scared to death, and they feed on that. They feed on her fear right before she dies. It's so insidious. Terrible.
Maybe some of this might, as far as I know, there has been no arrest made as of yet.
No, because, you know, this guy doesn't even know he did it.
Maybe it'll help the police. Well, okay. When I watched the video, I saw clearly that she was in fear because she peeked around the corner of the elevator, right? And she was as if she was looking down the hall or expecting something or somebody, and then back in. And so I saw the fear, but I saw more than fear. She began, God, what's the right word?
Well, she was animated like a puppet master.
Yeah, very good. Like a puppet. Yes, exactly right.
Yep.
And that was what I was trying to say, is that this puppet master thing going on was, it's like she would go in and out of being controlled by this puppet master. And then, like Ronnie said, she was knocked out, and that's when she was taken up to the tower.
That makes sense. It all makes sense. Maybe this will help the police. You know, if you're on to something, maybe it'll help the police.
You know what the sad thing is, though?
Yeah, what? The sad thing is that this kid doesn't know.
The man that did it, he doesn't even realize he did it. He has no clue because he was controlled. He was absolutely controlled, mesmerized, hypnotized in a sense. And it was almost like through his eyes they were controlling her, that fear. Because I know she saw something. Those hands started going.
Right.
It's really insidious what happened.
How unusual. How unusual is something like what we're seeing here? How unusual?
I think it happens more than what we think. It's my premise that now that we have more cameras and cell phone cameras and things, that we're going to be seeing a lot more of this kind of bizarre activity, and it's going to start getting on the map now. And
the veils are thinner as well.
Exactly. So more people are seeing crazy stuff that they didn't see 10 years ago.
Well, I'll say this. We've had a spate of crimes in recent years that's been accelerating or quickening, if you will, that when you hear about the crime, you shake your head. I mean, there was a time when people, you know, committed crimes like robbing banks because that's where the money is. I mean, they had motive. But in recent years, we've had so many crimes where you just go, what the hell? He walked into a school and started shooting a bunch of people? Why? You know, just head shakers, I call them.
Yes, I agree with you. A lot of them recently. Just killing for no apparent reason other than to kill, to see what it's like.
That's it. It seems that way. That's the only human explanation. Just to kill, to see what killing is like. But I wonder how many times something like you have described is behind something like we've been seeing.
Yes. I think I've said just recently that I think that there's a lot more possessions going on, and they're controlling these kids, and they do it through drugs and alcohol because they feed off of that too. Many of these ghosts were alcoholics and were drug addicts, and they died in that place where they have that still inside them, and they want more, and they want more, and then they just feed off that chaos.
Even more frightening, ladies, it apparently can be done without the victim having consumed any alcohol or any drugs.
Correct. Yes.
That's pretty powerful stuff.
It is. But, you know, the most important thing is we don't want people to be scared. I mean, that's one of the reasons we wrote our book. It's a book that empowers people to help them protect themselves, to learn what it's all about, because knowledge is power. And fear just feeds it. So we laugh a lot.
Well, I'm afraid it's working on me. Because, again, when I watch that, there is fear. So
yeah.
I hope I'm not the next victim.
Ripping
the mic out of my hand, whatever.
No, we won't let that happen to you, Art.
All right, ladies, hold tight right there, please. Going to take a break. Ronnie and Laura are the Ghostbuster gals. And if you haven't seen this video yet, go to artbell.com. And if you dare, I repeat, if you dare, watch the whole thing and tell me it doesn't creep you out. Listen, you've got to get up there and see that video. You really do. And you've got to watch it all the way through. In the dark. God, it's frightening stuff. It's horrible. Horrible. And the other one, obviously, when NASA takes a UFO photograph, it's got to be seen. All at artbell.com. Artbell.com. Ronnie and Laura, the Ghostbuster gals, are back. And, well, no, wait a minute. They're not back yet. I've got to remember I have this commercial stuff to do, so I guess I better do it, huh? When you go to sleep at night, you want to sleep on a nice, soft pillow, right? You want to sleep with a loved one. Sure you do. Well, no matter what, you want a soft pillow. And probably you want to be able to listen to radio, for example, dark matter. So I've got a solution for you. Really a good solution. So many people lie in bed trying to listen to the radio, and their partner's going, come on, turn that off. C. Crane has something called a soft speaker pillow speaker. That's a big title. A soft speaker pillow speaker. And it is a dynamite way to listen to dark matter without having to disturb the most important person in your life who's sleeping right next to you, doesn't want to be disturbed. So, if you order, here's a deal. I've got a deal for you. If you order a soft speaker by Monday, a soft speaker, pillow speaker, you will get the special price of $9.95. And that, you know what that is? 50% off. But you've got to mention my name, Art Bell. That's the deal. 50% off. This thing is so cool. And you can just lie in bed and just like you're on a pillow and hear it and not disturb the person next to you. And that's half off. If you mention my name, $9.95, that's incredible. Plugs into any device with a headphone jack, has the highest music and voice fidelity of any pillow speaker ever made, offers the perfect combination of comfort, privacy, and audio quality, and, you know, there's a reason why they call C. Crane the marriage saver. Take advantage of it by ordering the soft pillow speaker, That sounds so redundant, doesn't it? For the 50% off price of $9.95, you can call C. Crane right now and get one on the way while you're thinking about it. The number is 800-522-8863. Once again, 800-522-8863. Or visit them online at ccrane.com. Make sure you mention my name when you order, Art Bell, for that $9.95. That's crazy, 50% off. All right, gals, welcome back.
Yeah.
Just one more question, by the way, about this booking deal. Did they offer to rebook you on the show at a later date?
You know, I was hoping that they would, since we've had a history with them. Mm-hmm. And I called Tom and left a message that's virtually said, we're doing the Art Bell show, the Dark Matter show, but maybe we could do another show with you guys in November or December, because ghosts are not around just at Halloween. They're
That's
everywhere,
for sure.
All the time.
And?
So I didn't hear anything back, nothing. And that's what was so disappointing. If he had said, well, you can't do this October show,
yeah,
but we'll book you some other time, I wouldn't have been so hurt by it.
I'm sorry, ladies. I'm really sorry that happened. There's no need for it.
But you know what? We're on your show, and we're very, very happy.
We're very happy.
Yes. And I'm happy to have you. All right. So now, I guess let's finish up on this. You know, I'm just having such a hard time understanding this. Okay, a guy in the hotel was taken over, and then... Help me understand. He then somehow took her over? I mean, because she wasn't acting rationally at all. People are saying things like they think she was trying to get to the emergency phone box, whatever. She wasn't acting rationally in that video moments before she was, before her life ended, I guess. So that means either he influenced her, he sent something to her, he was in some way controlling her, or I'm making too much out of it. I don't know which, but
I don't
you
think
tell
you're
me.
Making too much out of it. But
no.
It wasn't the man himself; it was the entity,
the puppet master,
that took over through his eyes. It was almost was so weird because the vision I got was this regular guy who really was kind of a little creepy anyway, but just still a human being. Was then taken over by this evil puppet master type crypto thing, and through his eyes, I saw her in the vision look at his eyes, and there was almost like a mesmerization that went on, and she
That's
saw
right.
the evil. She
yes.
saw the dark black evilness, and she freaked. But he had that control. The minute she looked in his eyes, he then was able to do his little puppet master thing, and those hands started ringing and swaying and doing.
Right, right.
She was beside herself. She was in so much fear.
All right, one more thing. Deborah Ann, this is right. So I can get messages while I'm on the air through something called the wormhole.
Mm-hmm.
If they go to my website, they can send a message. It appears here. And one has just appeared from Deborah. I won't give her last name, but she says, and I join her in this, by the way. She says, when I watched the Lamb video, there appears to be an energy field in the elevator. It is stronger when the door is closed. Now, maybe it's just a lighting effect, but I saw it too. At the time, I said, oh, God, look at that in the dark. And I don't know what it was, but she's right. It was stronger when the door was closed. What was that?
I saw it also, and I would just thought it might be the video, because I looked at that and went, what the heck is that? But then
yeah.
I thought, well, the video itself is so grainy, and so I wasn't sure, and I just didn't really look at it.
Yeah, but it was kind of like the middle of the elevator went into a special kind of darkening of its own. if you will. In other words, it didn't evenly darken when the door shut, which is what you would expect, I think. There was sort of a, I don't know how to describe it, a circular darkness that took over in the middle of the elevator.
There was definitely energy there. I saw it because it's very visual, but I was just thinking that it might have something to do with the way the video was. But then again, when you're working with ghosts, the electromagnetic fields of everything, all electrical things are really
go haywire, yeah.
Yeah, so that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
And we were detecting a portal in that hotel, but the portal was not in the elevator shaft. It was, and it could move. It sometimes portals will phase in and phase out, but it wasn't, I don't feel that it was in the elevator per se, but I feel like what Ronnie said, when you're dealing with all this very interesting electromagnetic energy, it can make real changes with video equipment. We know
sure.
that.
I know. It's something that I saw, and I said to myself, yeah, that might just be an artifact, but I noticed it, and then I got this message, somebody else noticed it, and you noticed it. So if all of us are noticing this, then maybe there is something to it. It's a good time, I guess, to ask, have you come across a demon, and what you think a demon is? It seems to go right with what we're talking about, or it might.
Yeah, that real dark, dark, dark energy. And so far in our ghost bustings, we have not come across what the Bible might call a demon.
Mm-hmm.
But we have come across very, very, very dark, dark entities. And it goes back to that ass-soul thing. You know, if they're very controlling and they're egocentric and they uh-huh. want that power and control, and they're so attached to that power and control, they take it with them to the other side. And one case where we were called in, and you might be familiar with this, Art, it was the Amargosa Hotel and Opera House.
Oh, I'm just a few miles from Amargosa.
You know,
lucky you.
We know that because we did a TV show in Pahrump. It was called Out There, and they took us over to the hotel. We called it Hotel California. It was one of the most haunted places we'd ever seen in our entire life, and there were a lot of entities there. But one not only controlled the people, and he would push people down, and he would cause accidents, and he would do terrible things, but he also controlled all the other ghosts, so very tyrannical. And when we were taking a little tour in the back where it was really dark and closed in, and it was pretty spooky, we walked into this room, and I heard as loud as can be in my ear, "Get out."
Oh, wow.
Oh.
You know, I've got a group that does EVPs, and I've heard an EVP say exactly that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty chilling.
It's
so, again,
chilling.
This goes back to people being, I want to be very specific, ass souls is what you're saying, right? We want to be careful here. I have a rule on this program about language. I don't allow, even though, you know, SiriusXM, you can do it. I don't allow bad language. And that's about as bad as it gets. Ass souls.
It so describes them.
Bad in life, bad in death, I guess.
Bad in death and controlling and tyrannical and wanting to cause problems and then feeding off the problems. But here's the thing. This story is in the back of our book in a lot more detail. But when we helped these trapped souls home, because that's basically our whole purpose. We feel these souls are trapped. We want to help them go home, back to God. We had to contain this ass soul because he wouldn't let us work. And we quarantined him, which is a long
How?
Story.
Please, just if you can, Well, we've got a lot of time.
This is
Sirius XM.
Tell the story, Ronnie.
So tell the story. How do you control something like that?
Oh, this was Laura Lee's brilliance at the time. We were standing out in this field outside the hotel. It's a full moon. We're getting ready to do our work. And then this asshole was really causing a lot of problems. So take it away, Laura Lee.
Well, it's interesting because we were totally unprepared to go do this. We thought we were just going to go take a tour. And once we got there, we're like, they said, well, can you do something? And we're like, well, we don't have any of our Ghostbusters stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a couple of almorocyte rocks. And so usually we have a whole bunch of those with us when we do our ghost busting. Because it's
what is all almorocyte?
Almorocyte?
Yes.
The stone of truth and justice. And it's a stone that's not from this planet. It is interdimensional, and it really helps us with our work to be able to stabilize energies and to get clarity a lot quicker and to bring truth and justice into play.
So you gals have actually been space traveling?
Yeah.
I mean, where else do you get a stone not from this planet? Well, maybe if it fell, and came crashing through the atmosphere.
That's what it did.
It's
a
tektite. It truly is. Okay. All right. I'll accept
that. So we've got our little space rock with us, and we had a group of people there, and we were holding hands. We're in a circle, and I went around and rubbed these rocks together so that everybody could have some in their hands, because they kind of sparkle off. I'll have to send you some. You'll be really intrigued with this. So,
I would love it. I absolutely love it.
No, you will really like it because it's amazing, amazing stuff. We call them our rock buddies. So
maybe I'll trade you something I have that's from 19, from an alien crash.
Well, that would be a good trade.
Good trade.
That's good trade. Yeah. Maybe. Anyway, so you have this rock
and we're in a circle and. We've got this ghost, and all of a sudden he starts ranting and, carrying on. And I had put him in this device that we call a cryogenetics egg. You can see that on our website. It looks like an egg with a DNA helix going down the center of it and some geometric shapes on the outside. And this is an amazing protective protocol.
This is starting to sound like Ghostbusters, a movie, where they had a containment, some sort of cryogenic.
Just
like that.
Okay. All right.
So I instinctively, and I didn't know you could do this, but this ghost was just like getting really out of hand. So I put him in a cryogenic egg. I threw the egg around him, and he was just floored. He could not believe that anyone or anything could contain him. So he starts pounding on the shell.
And yelling and screaming.
And yelling and screaming and stinking. All of a sudden we smell this horrible, horrible stench out there.
Like rotten eggs.
Really?
It was real, and we all smelled it. It's not just like something one of us smelled. So I put my hand toward where this was and kind of lowered it and said, night, night, you're going to sleep. And he was ranting and raving, and then pretty soon he was like anesthetized, and the smell went away. And so he's like falling asleep on the floor of this egg. And now this is all etheric, right? We don't have like an actual egg out there, but it's all etheric. And so he's like asleep so that we can start doing our work.
Yes, but not everything that you experienced was etheric. In other words, when you actually have smells and you have tangible
we had
evidence.
Smells, yes, and touches. Later on, we could physically feel the ghosts.
Yeah,
so
what was happening, I'm trying to remember, because this has been like 10 years or 12. This is like in 2001 or something. It was a long time ago. Part of us were in a circle out under the full moon, right? Classic.
Right.
And all of a sudden, because I had thought several times, I said, you know, Ronnie, people say, have you ever seen a ghost? And I'm like, not really. But when we were at the Amargosa, all of a sudden from behind, they had like an old gas station that wasn't used anymore. This guy was kind of lurking around there and acting really funny. I thought, who is that weird guy? And then all of a sudden he starts making a beeline over toward our circle. Now who's going to do that? I mean, you know, we're obviously doing some kind of a ceremony, and he just makes a beeline over and starts yelling and talking about just
crazy
incidental things that, you know, hey, how are you doing? What's going on here? So the woman that was the manager of the hotel, she said, I'm going to go take care of him. It's Eduardo. You guys do not break the circle. Do not stop doing what you're doing. So she goes and says, oh, hi, Eduardo. Let me take you in, and we'll get you a cup of coffee. And she's talking to him, and we're like, okay, phew, we're glad that disturbance is over, and we carry on. Well, the interesting thing is one of the members of our group was sitting in front of the hotel, just kind of watching everything. He didn't want to be a part of this because it kind of scared him. So
how many members of your group are there?
Well, it seemed like there was 20 or 30, but there was only like six.
Five.
It's the weirdest thing, because whenever we visualize it, it feels like there was such a big circle. And then when we tried to count it, it was like, oh, my God, there was only like five people there. It's like, what?
If that or four or three. So the guy that was sitting in front of the hotel, here comes Kathy, and she's like talking, and he says, what are you doing? And she says, oh, I'm going to get Eduardo here a cup of coffee. And he says, you're going to do what? With who? And she says, Eduardo. And there was nobody there. He disappeared. And in fact, to the fellow that was sitting in front of the hotel, he never saw him. He was not there. And to us, we saw him as tangible and as 3D as you can get. We heard him. He was not a ghost. This guy was not a ghost. In fact, Kathy knew him. He was somebody that she had met before. So we had seen somebody that wasn't a ghost and just disappear. And apparently this kind of thing happened a lot at the Amargosa. And things that happened there.
There is a long history, yes.
Oh, there is a long history, and somehow it's connected to the military base that's out there. There's a lot of really creepy, weirdo things that have to do with that base. And we can talk about that later.
Yes, all right. So going back to our demon that's in the egg.
So we're in this circle, and then one of the girls says, I've got to go in and get the ghosts out. And so she goes back to the hotel, and then Ronnie said, I'm going to go with her.
Okay, I've got to stop you and ask you a question. You know, for a lot of people out there, their BS meter is going really high.
Yep, yep.
And they're saying, oh, come on, a ghost nobody can see except you gals. An egg nobody can see except you gals. I would offer up the smell that you talked about as something tangible, but they're going, oh, come on, this all could be made up.
It could be,
but all the people that were there were seeing the same thing, except for the guy that was watching from the hotel.
And it gets better.
Mm. Yeah. You think this is BS meters are going off now, wait till you hear the rest.
Yeah, because when we're
you're gonna drive them right over to the peg, huh?
Oh yeah, and we don't. You know, we're used to that because we do a lot of things within our mind and our thinking, because we know how important thoughts really are, and creativity and imagination, if you imagine it. So,
listen, I can guarantee you a lot of people out there are saying they know exactly what you're talking about. And a lot of, you know, and then there's the other crowd that's saying, oh, come on. Like
I love that.
That
crowd, though, Art. I love that crowd. And if they would read our book, they would realize that all the stories that we tell in there are the God's honest truth. And after we ghost bust, things change. See,
well, you'll be hearing from them, short of their having read your book. We'll get to a point where we've got open lines, and then you'll be hearing from them.
Okay, that'll be great.
Yeah,
we're
fine. All right, gals, hold on. We're at another break point here. From the high desert and the Great American Southwest. This is Dark Matter, again, raging in the nighttime. I'm Art Bell. Ghostbuster gals are here tonight. They've got a book. If you want it, it's called Got Ghosts. That's a question mark. Got Ghosts? The bizarre but true tales of the Ghostbuster gals. And you can pick it up, I'm sure, at their website, www.ghostbustersstories.com. That should be easy enough. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
By all means, proceed. Knock the meters up to the peg.
Yes. The rest of the story.
Story, yes. I love that expression.
Yes, we do too, because what happened, we're out there and again it's dark and one of the ladies wanted to move into the hotel and I felt like I needed to follow her. And then Kathy was still there and we went into this corridor that was dark and there was no air and there was no windows and it was all rubble and a mess. And we told her that the mean ghost was knocked out so that we could help the rest of the ghosts leave. Now, she'd already had three or four people try to remove the ghosts from the Amargosa. She had promised them that she would get help. Not one of them was successful. So I opened up a portal that literally was connected to what Laura Lee was doing outside across the way. And we did this calling all ghosts kind of thing. I know that sounds funny, but we did. We psychically, telepathically gave an invitation for all the ghosts that wanted to leave to go enter this portal and connect with the bigger portal we had outside. Well, let me tell you something. I've never been so shocked and freaked in my life because all of a sudden we could feel the ghosts moving past us. We could literally, the hair on the back of our necks were standing up and it would go whoosh and it would just whoosh past us as they left. And there was no air, there was no windows, there was no nothing. So it was the ghosts as they were leaving. It was so freaky.
And you guys swear this is true.
Swear.
No, and it gets better.
We swear. The one thing as a little angel girl is I don't believe in lying. Integrity is everything. And I know Laura Lee is the same way. Our book, every tale in that book.
You know what? You already proven you have integrity, so you don't need to prove that one. You do.
There you go. So we do not tell any lies.
So the interesting thing about this is as these ghosts were coming through the portal that I was holding open on the outside, I saw this ghost, and she started to go through the portal and then stopped and turned around. Was it her or him? It was her.
You had her. I had
yeah.
Him.
And she stopped and then she turned around and she wouldn't go in. And I thought, well, that's kind of odd. And then pretty soon this male ghost comes and they embrace and then they go in the portal together. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. Well, now here's what happened on Ronnie's end.
This was so weird. So we're sending the ghost through and there's a man. Stand, you know, we see them with our third eye, obviously, not with our physical eyes.
I think that's a hard time that everybody has with this. You're seeing these things with eyes that you all have and other people don't. And that's what's causing them to say, oh, come on, you know, this has got to be baloney. Because they don't see, ladies,
don't.
What you see.
And they don't understand. But they can if they wanted to.
All right, that's a really good point right there. If somebody actually wants to see the kind of things you see, how do you progress toward doing that? Or is it a talent you're either born with or you're not?
I don't believe you're born with it, Art. In fact, I was not born with it. I believe some people are, but I wasn't. And so it took me a long time to learn how to communicate with the unseens and with the angels, and I teach classes on it. And it's all about raising vibration and meeting them at a higher level, and they lower their vibration down. But that's another 3 or 4 hours.
All right, well.
But it can be done. It absolutely can be done. And so this male ghost, a young, handsome man, and I could see their clothes. Their clothes were from about, early 1900s. He didn't want to go in the portal, and I said, "What's wrong?" He says, "Oh, I'm waiting for my love. I want my love to come with me." And I knew that there was nobody else there, and I just assured him. I just said, "Look, you know, if you go through the portal, I guarantee you, you'll find her somewhere there." Well, it was, I didn't know this was going on with Laura Lee, that there was a female ghost waiting at the end of that portal to go in. We had no idea this was going on until afterwards. So he crossed, and then all of a sudden she went in, and they met up, and they went through. But apparently these people died. It was almost like a tent city out there. That's why there were so many ghosts. There was kind of like a flu that went by.
Yeah, I've been hearing about this for years and years and years, so I know it's so.
There you go. See, and I did not know. I had no history of this whatsoever. And we find a lot of times when we do ghost bustings, we don't know any history. We come up with this information, and then people find us the facts. They say, look, this
listen,
really happened.
Around these parts, they've been talking about Armagosa forever. So,
No.
I know about it. And there really were that many, huh?
Oh, hundreds. There were hundreds. And we wanted to clear them all because we found a way to do it. It was a wonderful gift that Laura Lee and I got that we could then clear them. So now that all the ghosts were gone, to bring it back to our demon and the egg.
Yes. Yeah,
are you ready for this one? Oh, boy.
Probably not, but go ahead.
Yeah, so the ghosts are all gone, and now we had to deal with our demon and the egg. And Laura Lee woke him back up.
And he was ticked off. He was not a happy camper, and he's smelling again and raising all kinds of heck.
And everybody smelled this rotten egg smell, and he's cursing, and he's spitting, and he's fuming, and it was horrible.
And I'm thinking, now what do I do with him?
Yeah.
Because, you see, when we cross most ghosts, we don't make them go anywhere. It's not something we force them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we found, if we can find something that they loved and bring them down the portal, because we create a portal to the other side, if we bring them back through the portal, it might help that ghost go. Well, nothing was working with that ghost.
Because he was an atheist.
He was an atheist. So we tried Archangel Michael, and we tried Sananda, who people know as, you know, Jesus. And, you know, we call him Yeshua ben Joseph. We tried the big of the bigs, you know, to try to get him to go. He wouldn't go. So
I'll tell you, if you ever encounter Matthew Alper, you're going to have a time on your hands. In other words, if somebody, I get it. If somebody is an atheist, if they simply don't believe one way or the other, as a ghost, as somebody stuck here, mm-hmm. they're not going to be interested in an invitation to go elsewhere at all.
You're right.
Unless we've had atheists go with their pets that have crossed over. They'll go with their dog.
And you know what we did with this guy? It was like an insight. I guess the angels just fed this to me. We brought back his mother. And as she came back, we were able to see the story of this absolutely horrible person. She had died when he was 10 years old, and his father was a drunk. And the father hated this child.
Right.
He would beat the child with a belt and beat him and beat him and wouldn't feed him. A dog got better treatment than this poor child. And so this hardened this child, and he grew up with this hatred and this loathing of humanity and gave that all back to everybody else. But he looked, oh my God, Art, to see the visual of him, he his skin was all peeling, and he was just drooling. And he looked like a demon. That's what he looked like. If I would think a demon was anything, it would be him. When his mother came back, all of a sudden, his whole demeanor changed. He softened up. He became loving. He actually turned into a 10-year-old child. This horrible, vile, spitting demon turned into a 10-year-old child.
Yeah, moms will do that to you. Dare I ask how you bring somebody who has ascended back?
It's all with the angels, you know, because we create the portal that goes both ways. And the angels are always helping with the portals. And then we ask. We ask for that soul to come through that portal. They can't come all the way back. They stay in that portal. But the ghosts that we're trying to help and to release sees that loved one in that portal and then goes to the portal. And then they're escorted back, either sometimes with angels. It just depends.
It all seems so hard to believe. I mean, you're talking about portals and bringing people back from all the way on the other side, which seems tough. It's just really... And yet I understand his reaction when he saw his mother, too. If that really happened, I can understand it would have a very leveling influence on him.
Yes, and then guess what happened? So, now, once he's gone, the portal's closed, everybody's done. Now, we smell roses. Every person there smelt roses.
Everything's coming up roses.
Yeah.
And you know there's no roses out at the Amargosa Hotel.
It was
not to my knowledge, no.
No, no. So we smelled that. It was a high vibrational thing. So that also told us that something happened. I mean, even if we're crazy. You know, Art, when I first started doing this, I really thought I was crazy. When I started hearing disincarnated spirits and feeling...
Is that how it began for you? I mean, it just started?
Yeah, I think the first time was when I was taking my EMT class, and I was riding with my professor, who was a paramedic for the fire department.
Right.
And we got a call that said, oh, gunshot wound to the head, and we went there, and my job was to do what's called bagging. I had to bag him, you know, to breathe for him with this AMBU bag.
Right.
And he was dead, but we were trying to keep his organs alive.
Right.
You know.
I do understand that, yes.
Okay. So we get him to the hospital, and he was, you know, by the time I got there and my teacher got there, he was already on a table, and they were cutting a hole in his chest to do open heart massage. So, of course, my teacher just grabs me by the shoulder, sticks me right up front to watch this hole being cut in this side of his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, all of a sudden, I felt at the corner of the room, the top corner of a room, this confusion. And I thought, what the heck is that? And it was this man, and he's going, what's happening to me? I don't know what's going on. I'm so confused. And he was watching himself. So I thought, oh, I don't know about this. This was a lot. This was like in 1984 before all these books were written. And I thought, oh, there's something wrong with me if I'm hearing this guy.
Well, so, once you've had an experience like this, it changes your life. There's no way it doesn't change your life. I'll give you that. I don't know the nature of this life that well, and I certainly don't know the nature of what comes after, but I guess your description is as good on one side as Matthew Alper's is on the other side. So who am I to disbelieve you? It's an amazing story. And so that began it. I mean, after that, you apparently were more sensitive to this whole thing.
Yeah, in fact, I took about a 180-degree turn. Instead of being an emergency medical technician, I went to go study with an Aztec medicine man who did psychic surgery. So, like, complete opposite. And then it took about another 10 years before I had another encounter.
Is there really anything to this psychic surgery? I mean, it's pretty wild stuff where they claim they're putting their hand into your body, that kind of thing, right?
I've watched it. I've had it done to me. You know, I've watched up his sleeve, and there was no sleeves. You know, I'm always a skeptic, you know.
How does it feel to have somebody reach in and grab your liver?
It's so freaky, because that's what this guy would do. He would reach in and he'd clean your organs and then give you herbs. And
Listen, I just went to the dentist and had deep cleaning. That was horrible, horrible. I can't even imagine what, well.
It didn't hurt, though. You could just feel the pressure of it.
Dentistry.
But you know what the key thing was? 10 years later, I'm in my bathroom, brushing my hair, getting ready to go out, and a friend of mine comes to me. And I had heard that he had died 3 days before, and I was very close with this man. And I'm like, whoa, what are you doing here? He's going, I don't know. And I kind of said, well, you're dead. And he said, I am not. Because they don't know. They really don't know they're dead. And so I didn't know what to do. I was like, well, yeah, you are. I am not. And so in a kind of panic mode, really, I mean, I just didn't know what to do. I called for the angels because that was my first experience of working with angels. I was told I had a connection. I really wasn't sure what that meant, but I just reached out with my mind and said, help. And all of a sudden, three angels appeared, and a tunnel appeared. And that was when Paul, my friend, realized that he was actually dead. Like, whoa.
Okay.
And you could see that resignation. You know, his shoulders kind of went down. It's like, oh. And he went with them. So,
yeah, tear up your day, no doubt about it.
Yeah, you're dead. So what? Then I still thought I was crazy. I thought I was imagining it, okay? I get that people think that this is weird and it might, you know, we're making it up. But I got to spend some time with James von Prague. Now, he did the Ghost Whisperer. And I believe he's one of the foremost mediums on the planet, James.
Oh, I've interviewed James.
Yeah.
He's very good.
Isn't he wonderful?
I'm starting to think I've interviewed everybody on the planet in this
area. I have. And now you're interviewing us.
I am indeed.
So that's good. But James, I told James that story. And James was the one that said, yes, it really did happen. You did a very good job. And he confirmed it for me, and that's what turned me around to start believing in myself. And Laura Lee had a totally different story, how she got started.
It is fascinating how you got started, and I can understand how that would occur. And then once it happens, it's kind of like a door opening.
Yeah.
And then you progress a little further and further. You start through the door and... or the other way around, they start coming this way, whatever, you begin to be sensitive.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, can I ask you gals about suicide, please? There are many, many stories told about those who take their own lives. Now, I don't know how I feel about it myself. I guess I've frequently said to myself, and I don't know if this is wrong or not, maybe you gals can tell me, and that is, if you had a disease that was horribly painful and was going to be a long, drawn-out death, then I don't know that taking your life is that irrational, and I'll leave it at that and throw it back in your court. What happens with suicide?
Well, let me first say that most suicides do not cross, okay? They get stuck, and they get stuck in something we call a time loop. However,
what kind of justice is that? I'm sorry, but in the case that I just described,
in the case that you just described, because there have been two suicides that we've worked on that did cross, and it was your exact scenario. Both men were very ill. They were going to die. They were trying to save their loved ones. They wrote notes. One man even put a plastic sheet down so he wouldn't get the place messed up.
Yep, I understand.
So there was consciousness there, and he crossed. And same thing with the other man who did it with that consciousness of he wasn't doing it for himself to get out of something difficult. He was doing it to save his loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
They crossed. But the time loop, Laura Lee knows about time loops.
Well, and it depends. You know, it's all circumstantial, and it depends on the how things were in their life and the circumstances. And so, you know, you can't really judge, you know, and say I know a lot of religions tell people that if they take their own life, it's like murder. Well, we don't really believe that because...
The Catholics do.
There's certain circumstances where it's a very loving, compassionate thing for those that you're leaving behind to not have to watch you waste away and...
I'm totally with you there.
Absolutely.
And those people generally do cross?
They do. But the ones that don't, that kill themselves for other reasons, we have found them as ghosts to be stuck in time loops. One of the first places I ever busted was the Glover Mansion. And they kept hearing pacing and pacing and pacing on the top floor. Nobody wanted to go up there. It's freaky.
Right.
Well, we found it was a maid that had committed suicide up there, and she just relived it over and over. The whole story's in the book. It's a fascinating story.
In other words, a time loop means whoever did whatever they did is going to be doing it
again,
eternally, again and again and again and again, yes?
Yes, unless we find them.
Unless somebody that knows how to help them gets there.
Like us. Because I was able to help her. She felt she was unworthy because she killed her unborn baby. That's the first thing she did. The baby was actually born in a tub. I saw that claw-footed tub, the vision of it. And like a year later, they actually showed me that claw-footed tub on another floor of the mansion that I didn't even know was there. But anyway, I digress. She had the baby. It was the master of the house that had impregnated her, and she felt that she would not be able to have that baby. So she was Irish Catholic, killed the baby in the tub, and then threw the baby out, wrapped it in white towels, went downstairs, threw the baby out with the trash. Well, the thing that freaked her out so much was the guilt. Not that she killed her baby, but she didn't give the baby a proper burial. This is what was going on in her mind. It was, like, so bizarre. And so she went a few days later, paced again, back and forth, and then went in the tub and killed herself. So they kept hearing that pacing, and it drove them crazy. And so when I went up there, and this was my first solo ghost busting, I saw her, I felt her, I knew what was going on. I established that communication with her and helped her cross, but she didn't feel worthy. I don't deserve to go back to God, was what she kept saying. And I told her she did, and finally I got her to cross, and they never heard the pacing again. So it's like, for the skeptics, it's like, so, you know, how'd that happen?
You know, I've always sort of leaned toward the theory that we stand in judgment of ourselves. And I guess to some degree that's true, huh?
Oh, boy, is it. And that guilt. And I believe that when we cross, we do what's called a life review. And those who know Danny Brinkley's work, he talks extensively about life review, where you get to experience your life as though you were watching your best friend go through it. So you get to feel the direct results of your interaction with somebody. So if you hurt somebody really bad,
it's going to be a rough movie.
Yeah,
it's going to be a real rough movie. I want to note here that, of course, Danian has been a very close friend of mine for a lot of years. And I know he does a lot of hospice work with veterans particularly. And I know that you're working with him on those projects, and you are to be commended for that.
Thank you, because doing the hospice work and sitting at the bedside of somebody that's dying is one of the greatest gifts that I receive, because I also know they're not going to become a ghost since I'm loving them into that next world. I've had veterans die in my arms, and I've just loved them into that next place, and they die in ecstasy with a smile.
Well, listen, whatever the end truth is, whether you're right or somebody else is right, what you're doing is right. So anytime you can help somebody like that, and particularly somebody who has served our country, bless you.
Thank you. The veterans are so close to my heart. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Ann Danian, who's doing he's devoted his life to it.
He has. I've been with him for 15 years.
And so
an
you too.
Trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to note that.
I appreciate that. Because working at the bedside actually increases your psychic abilities. Because mm-hmm. there's that doorway that opens to the other world.
Okay, so I guess if you'll excuse me, that before we leave the subject of suicide, what it comes down to, you're saying it's kind of like on a case-by-case basis.
Exactly. So that should make you feel better.
Is that true, by the way, of all death? In other words, you mentioned that there were many levels above and none below.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that back up, because we don't believe in hell, and we don't believe that God sends us to hell. However, we do believe that you have a right to choose. Like, we have a right to choose here, you have a right to choose on the other side. And if you believe that you are going to go to hell, mm-hmm. then you can create a hell for yourself. You can create it. However,
I can kind of buy that.
Yes, it's kind of like the movie What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams mm-hmm. many years ago. Danny said that really explains it perfectly.
Sure.
So if you think it, you can create it, and you can also uncreate it. But God, we found, in my belief, that God does not judge; God loves. It's all about love. Now, when you can talk to a veteran who's dying, who is so afraid because he knows he's done horrible things, and he's killed people, and you can explain that it's all about the love over there. They can die in peace. They can die in happiness. They can die without that fear. And that's why I do the hospice work, to help them cross without that fear.
All right. Hold it right there, gals. We're going to take a break. And they are doing that work. I spoke with Danyan earlier. I'm Art Bell. Good evening, everybody. The Ghostbuster gals are here, Ronnie and Laura. We're discussing all kinds of strange things in the night. The night. Music is kind of magical. I know it transports me, and that's why I do so much of it. There's something about it. It's magical. All right, gals, welcome back. I'm sorry, I skipped right over it. Laura Lee started to tell us how she got into all of this, and we took off in another direction. So, Laura?
Well, Art, I've always been weird.
I detected that immediately.
Actually, and this story is in the book Got Ghosts, but besides being weird all my life, it was in like the mid-80s, we moved into a house that was extremely, extremely haunted, and it's hard to describe how haunted that house was. And I'm trying to calm the kids down and help them not be afraid, and it's really challenging.
Your children, you have children.
Yes, I have children.
Okay, and they were these hauntings were pretty obvious if the children were noticing.
Yes, they all started having. They all knew that something was wrong with the house, and there was a place in the basement that we called the skeleton closet. And it was creepy. It was like a fruit room, but there was an entity in there. And just really weird things would happen. The clothes in the laundry room would come out as if somebody had wrapped a string around them, and then they're all knotted together and really staticky and just some very, very strange things. We would hear things. We would see things. So I didn't know anything about anything. And so what I started doing is putting psychic auto-reverse tape players in all of the rooms, in all of the closets. And every once in a while, I would tune into it, and some of them would be taken out. And I would keep redoing it, and pretty soon everything started to change. Now, this story is in the book, and so I'd like people to read that because it helps you understand that you can do something about your own house, and it tells how I did that. And we had a toilet that would flush every night at 10 o'clock, and we called it our potty geist.
Potty geist. Laura, are children more sensitive to, it's my feeling they are, to these sorts of things? I think it's a sensitivity they get when they're just months old, frankly, and then they grow out of it, sort of.
It's not that they grow out of it. It's that they have it beaten out of it. Oh, you didn't see that. Oh, they're your imaginary friends, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, right, imaginary friends. And
exactly.
You know, I work a lot with first wave indigos. I don't know if you've ever heard of the
indigo. Yes, I have.
Okay. And I wrote a book called Living in an Indigo House. And one of my websites is to support first wave indigos. And these kids are extremely psychic. I call them real-life X-Men.
Well, and for the sake of the audience, define indigo.
Okay, an indigo, okay.
Yes.
They were born, the first waivers anyway, were born en masse between 1969 and 1987. And then there was a big chunk that came in the late 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the movers and the shakers. They don't do authority very well. They have their own way of doing things. They can see things and hear things that nobody else can. They are very compassionate. A lot of them are into helping animal rights, and they're just on the front lines of all of the new movements, like the Occupy movement, was largely started and filled with first wave indigos, and they are the ones that are changing the planet and doing a darn good job of it. And
isn't
and that
interesting? Wow!
And you can see them all over the place, and they're not afraid, and you can't intimidate them. You can't. You can't try to force them into things because they just won't do it.
I would say they were well intentioned, but not particularly well organized.
The indigos or no.
The occupiers indigos.
Well, actually, they are and were very well. They act like they're not, but there was a huge. A lot of the things that they did were never covered by the mainstream media, so you didn't
but
really
when,
know.
Yes, but when the mainstream media did cover them, inevitably the question was, what are your goals? What is it that you want to achieve with what you're doing? And it was never clearly answered.
It depends on who you asked and which.
Well, the leaders. And then they would say, we don't have leaders.
Well, this is true, and because it's an underground movement, and as soon as you have a leader, then they would be a target. And so it was very well organized that way, where there's no leader, everybody is just following this idea of the banksters ruining everybody's lives. And,
well, they weren't wrong about that, were they?
No, they weren't. And, you know, 5 years ago, nobody knew what the 99% of the people are doing all the work and the 1% have all the money. So it's really put it on the map, and they've done a tremendous job of changing people's perceptions and getting them to wake the heck up to what's really happening here.
Okay, so your answer is your own house was haunted, and that launched you into this.
Yes, and that's how I kind of got started, and then my psychic abilities started waking up, and then I started realizing I could do some really wild and crazy things. and here I am today. Ronnie and I have been doing this for 13 years. Ronnie
and how in the world did the two of you... I mean, it seems rather unlikely, given your backgrounds, that you would join together. So how did that happen?
Well, it's actually really cool because Ronnie does things that I don't do with working with the angelic kingdom. I tend to hang out with the dragons and and beings like that. And so it's really awesome because Ronnie can relate to a whole lot of people that cannot relate to me and all of the weird stuff I do. And then there are things that Ronnie doesn't really want to
deal with that weird
stuff. Like when we come across weird alien stuff.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Ghosts are one thing. Weird alien stuff, new category. What do you mean weird alien stuff?
Okay, when you do ghost busting, anybody thinks that everything that goes bump in the night is a ghost. Not true.
Right.
In fact, we have come across alien ghosts. And when that happens, they don't necessarily go with the angelic kingdom.
Isn't that interesting? Alien ghosts.
Ghosts. Yeah.
And why not? Aliens, then they may have, as we do, a life cycle. And at some point, whatever point, it may end, in which case they become disenscaled, whatever, and then they are just little lights bouncing about like everybody else or whatever it is we become.
Absolutely.
What do we become, by the way? When we die, do we still perceive our bodies?
It depends on who you are. That's one of the reasons Ronnie and I work so well together, is when there's this really weird stuff, I have this psychic ability to know where these beings go, if it's alien or whatever it is, where they're supposed to head. One time we did a ghost busting and we found a whole bunch of Yetis. They were white and beautiful, beautiful beings, and they had been killed by, this is up in Canada.
Sasquatches.
Right.
And they had been killed for their fur. And then they were trapped in this lake. And I was just appalled. And these poor little Sasquatch spirits had to have somebody help them cross, and I had to go find out where their home was. And
well, in life, if you'll excuse me, in life, Sasquatches are about 8 feet tall, generally described as.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying little when they pass?
Well, they were cute to me, okay, Art?
Nobody ever describes Sasquatch as cute to me.
Well,
but okay.
They were cute.
All right, cute.
Cute Sasquatches. Cute big Sasquatches.
So we found a lot of stuff at that lake. And our client that had a cabin there, it was their son who was a crystal child. See, crystals are even different than the indigos. They're born telepathic. While indigos are very, very sensitive, the crystals are telepathic, and they're magnets for ghosts and other WS weird stuff.
Uh-huh.
So he actually had an alien ghost attached to him. And I call Loralee for that.
All right.
So we work well together.
I would like to ask you both again about alien spirits, because that really is interesting. I never even considered that if you're looking at the other side, as you two are apparently able to do, you wouldn't just see humans. You would see perhaps aliens as well. Tell me whatever you can about what you've encountered that's alien.
Well, first let me answer that question about what happens when we so-called die, because we're energy, and energy really doesn't die. Our physical bodies kind of return to dust, as they say, but our spirit.
I think most people agree with that, that's what it is, a spirit. But
it's a spirit, and we have a light body. We actually, we don't have a physical form, but there is a light body. And the way I know that, this is, I'll just kind of tell a really quick story, but I was doing a reading for a friend of mine, and a spirit guide came through. And he was talking really, really fast in my ear, and I'm like going, slow down. So he said he had just been to guide school. It's like, yeah. So I'm like your audience. Yeah, right, guide school. You know, that's the number one rule in guide school. Anyway, I found out is don't talk so fast. And again, I found out from James von Prague there is one. So he proceeded to tell me that when a person that they're guiding beats themselves up, tears themselves down, and really is hard on themselves, that it hurts their spirit guides. And of course I said, yeah, right. You don't even have a body. How can it hurt you?
Mm-hmm.
This was way back in those days. And so he showed me how he had this light body, and then those negative thoughts about themselves, you know, the people that they love, that they're guiding, that they're helping, and they're having such, you know, the physical person's having such negative thoughts, it impinges upon their light body. They actually can feel a pressure that's uncomfortable to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, light bodies. And then what we have found is on the other side, there are many different levels of places that people go depending on the level of evolution of their soul. I've seen people fishing with a little cabin. I've seen people going to the halls of knowledge and going to school. I've seen people shopping. I mean, you know, it's crazy, crazy things, but depending on the level of where you are and what you choose to create on that other side, you have that opportunity to do that. But I have not seen an alien, I'm sorry.
Well, you're the ones that mentioned aliens, not me.
Well, just because she hasn't seen them doesn't mean they're not there.
Yeah.
All right, so you are aware they are there.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, Art, there's something that I call a cosmic recycle bin. And when I come across some really nasty ass soul that is alien or otherwise, I commission this cosmic recycle bin to put them in, to clean them out, and then if there's anything useful, it comes out the other end. And I've worked with other people to teach them how to use this, and we have a whole crew of first wave indigos that are now using cosmic recycle bins to clean up the cosmos.
Kind of like sending a virus. Last week I sent a virus and many parts of it to the recycle bin. So, but seriously,
I think the aliens have their own heaven. You know, I'm getting this right now. It's like the place where I tap into, and the ghosts that I tap into, and the spirits I tap into are from this dimension and this world. But I'm sensing that aliens from another planet have their own place that they go to, where things are you know, in their own ways, you know, the things that they understand and the things that they know, it's created for them over there. But
so you're suggesting there are multiple heavens?
Yes, but one God.
But one God and no hell.
No hell unless you want it. But no, God will never, ever, 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 ever send one of his children to hell. It doesn't happen. So that's part of it.
Have you ever been able to discern much from an alien spirit?
From, like, information-wise, or?
Yeah, anything at all. You can tell me. I mean, I've never talked about alien spirits, so it's a new area for me.
Oh, well, I actually talk to aliens a lot.
Well, then tell me what you can.
Well, it depends on the alien, because they're from all over the universe, and there's some from outside the universe that...
Give me the highlights.
...snuck in. It depends on who they are and what their agendas are. You know, some of them are benevolent, and some of them are just hardcore, creepy assholes that need to go in the recycle bin.
We really need to make this clear. That's ass souls.
Yes, souls.
Because
yes.
It will be heard the other way, trust me.
soul, and this is in our book too. It talks about
S-O-U-L-S, soul.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do, but not everybody does. And if they're just, you know, tuning in, perhaps
tuning in, they might.
They're going to rock back and say, "Hey, what happened to Art Show?
Yeah.
I thought he said no bad
it's
language."
Really degrading with those Ghostbuster gals.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, to answer your question, there's as many different types of alien places that they go as there are aliens, and I feel a little different than Ronnie does. I can understand her one God perception, but my belief or my perception, what I've gathered, is that there were actually a huge committee that created this hologram that we're in, and so they would kind of be, we wouldn't call them gods, we just call them hologram creators. So that kind of gets into some different theological perceptions, but...
You believe we're in a hologram?
Heck yes.
I even believe that.
Well, do you know science is experimenting with that right now?
Mm-hmm.
Call it what you will. Science actually believes it could be so, and they're trying to test it. Hologram, matrix, whatever you want to call
mm-hmm.
it. If we are in it, I think it's going to come as a gigantic shock to a lot of people. And you're suggesting that different creatures, different non-human creatures that pass may be in essence their own hologram, and their death or their passing is satisfied in a different manner by what may be a different concept of God?
Absolutely, absolutely. And
holy smokes.
There's so many different scenarios that are going on inside the hologram, and there's so many beings that are trying to manipulate the hologram and control it and then control us here. And it's just, you know, like a battle of wits and control. And
that's downright fascinating. Really, it is.
That's exactly why the first wave indigos are here. A lot of them came from outside the hologram as on the hologram rescue team to help try to put it back together again, because it's like it got a huge virus and got really corrupted. And the only way to fix it was to go inside the hologram to fix it. You couldn't fix it from the outside. And
mm-hmm.
that's on my website. There's information about
okay.
that.
If you run into somebody on the other side
mm-hmm.
who claims that he was strangled by the neck until dead by a talk show host, this will be the guy who created the virus that mm-hmm. I had to deal with last week on my computer. So you'll know exactly who he is.
I will know who it is.
And
I will come to your rescue.
No, do me a big favor, will you? Don't help them. Don't help them. All right, we're going to take a break here. Ghostbuster Gals on Dark Matter. I'm Art Bell. You are cleared to call right now. So here it is, folks, your opportunity to talk to the Ghostbuster Gals. And I'd like to again promote their book for them, actually. So we're going to do that. It's a remarkable book, and if you want to read about that which you're hearing, it's called Got Ghosts, the Bizarre but True Tales of the Ghostbuster Gals. And you can go to their website, and that's where you can get it, www.ghostbustersstories.com. Now let me get that straight, www.ghostbustersstories.com. That should be easy enough. What I want to do is open the lines and tell you that the number is simple, 855-REAL-UFO. Is that a catch for a number or what? 855-REAL-UFO, or, if you wish, 855-732-5836. And, gals, you're back on the air again, so shortly now we'll begin to take some calls. And
great. If we can just make a quick correction, Art, it's Ghostbuster Stories, singular.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, let me see.
Was there a typo there?
I think you do. Yes, GhostbustersStories.com. It's GhostbustersStories.com. I just read it as GhostbustersStories.com, and I was wrong. So it's GhostbustersStories.com, yes?
Yes, and we also have GhostbusterGals.com.
That's a fun website.
Okay, sorry, gals. Anyway, that's the place, and they can get the book there, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Or Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's everywhere.
Okay, but I bet you'd prefer them to get it from your site.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure if they go there, probably more the money goes to you.
Well, and they get it autographed, so yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's definitely worth it. Okay. Let's do exactly that then. If you don't mind, we'll begin to let some people talk to you. So here it comes. Are you ready?
We are ready.
Okay. Let's go to California. And Scott, you're on with the Ghostbuster Gals.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I used to listen to you quite a bit on AM. Have you had, or your guests, Art, you're probably familiar with Goldfield, Nevada, and the Goldfield, and the Goldfield Hotel.
Yes.
Goldfield.
Another Goldfield very, Club. Very haunted hotel, yes.
Yeah, so I was wondering if your guests have been there, investigated it, or any of that, and just was curious if you've made it over to Goldfield.
Okay. You know, we haven't.
Thank you for the question. Oh, you haven't? Well, you seemed interested in Nevada, so there you go. That's a good place for you to go because that hotel is very legendarily haunted.
Yeah, you know, something interesting that I think will really suspend the belief of your listeners is that when we do our ghost bustings, most of the time we don't go there. We do our ghost bustings remotely. We kind of sit in our own spaces and do ghost bustings, you know, around the world that way, and have had just as much success than if we were actually physically there.
Well, earlier tonight when we began the show, and by the way, I want to send people to artbell.com, too, if you haven't seen this yet, this incredible elevator video. I know that you two sat down, I guess not together, but in a way together, and looked at that situation, right?
Yes.
What is the process like to look at something like that and try and figure out what happened?
That's another really good question, Art. What we usually do is we'll find out what's going on, and then we will do a separate meditation where Laura Lee will contact her people.
My people.
Yeah, and I contact my people. And we raise our vibration, which is the most important thing because everything is vibration. And we contact whatever it is that's going to help us find out what's happening in the haunted place. The beauty of that is when we come back together, we usually find the same things. I can't tell you how many times we have found the same things in separate meditations.
That's
and then sometimes she'll have one part of the puzzle and I'll have another, and together we get to put it together.
I understand. All right. Fascinating. All right. Off to Texas we go. And Peter, you're on with the Ghostbuster Gals. Hi.
Hi, good evening, Art and ladies. I just want to comment on the death experience. I had a bad car accident back in 1985, and I died a few times on the operating theater. And when I finally came to, I told the doctors, you know, exactly what I saw, you know, them working on me, doing the stitching up and all that stuff. And they put it down to a chemical in my brain.
I'm sorry, sir. To what in your brain?
They said a chemical in my brain got released, that's why I could see what the dogs were doing, because I told them exactly what happened, what they did to me, and how long. I remember the ambulance ride and everything, and they just said, well, you know, when you die like that, it's a chemical that gets released in the brain, and you believe you saw it, but I know what I saw, and they just told me there was a chemical in my brain.
Yeah, that's the title of a book, too. I know what I saw. I know what I saw. I'm with you, sir, all the way. Believe me. Yeah, gals, that is the 99-cent medical explanation for what happens when you die and you see your own body being worked on by medical personnel. Oh, it's a chemical in your brain.
Yeah. Well, no doubt there could be chemicals released at that time, not why that happens. And it's not why you have a vivid recall of everything that was going on when you were supposed to be out cold. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we know
there have been stories. There have been stories, ladies, of people clinically dead for an hour who have come back to life. Now, I'm sorry, but even for me, clinically dead for an hour, that's dead.
Yeah, well, you know, usually the brain dies after about 7-8 minutes without oxygen. But even Danyon, he was dead for 28 minutes. He was, you know, on a gurney with a sheet over his head and toe tag on, dead, ready to
I guess you know I was with Danyon when he had his heart attack.
I know. I'm telling you, you helped save him with your prayers.
We tried. Good. We tried. Yeah. We did what we could, and it was a miracle that... Anyway, let's go to Kentucky and Greg. Hi, Greg. You're on the air.
Hi, Art, and long-time listener and truck driver. You've kept me up many a night.
Yes, sir.
I
proud of it,
question.
Too.
Yes, sir. I have a question. I got a 14-year-old daughter, and from the time she was able to interact with anybody and start talking, she's had an imaginary friend she calls Issa. Now, my daughter is 14 years old now, a straight-A student, has never had a grade less than an A in school. And when she's doing homework, even to this day, she turns like she's talking to someone if she don't know the answer, and then gets the answer. And who is she seeing that I don't? We don't hear, me and her mother don't see.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I have a
Ladies?
Question.
Yes, go ahead.
What does this, I'm getting that it's one of her spirit guides. What does she say this person or this thing looks like? Is it an animal or is it a humanoid or what?
It's a girl. It's a girl.
It's a girl.
Okay. So the spirit, so the being that she talks to is another girl.
That's what she says.
Okay, yeah.
Well, you know what I was getting, and this is kind of weird, and I guess there's no way to confirm it, but I think your daughter was a twin in the womb, and the one twin didn't make it, but she did. And this girl is her twin and stays with her even though she doesn't have a physical body. She's there in spirit with her.
That'd be weird.
Yeah.
That is weird because nobody, there was nothing ever said about being a twin.
Well, a lot of times you don't know, sir. That all ends very early in the pregnancy.
Yeah.
But it's just weird that she talks to this, just like she's talking to anybody.
Well, I would let her know that what she's doing is fine and great. But be really careful about who she tells about it, because it could be the subject of a lot of ridicule. Just like this is real common for first wave indigos. They always have friends that nobody else can see. And so I would encourage her, but just make sure that she is real discreet about who she tells about it.
That's good advice.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, she's never told no one about it. I just didn't understand what it was.
Right, we've got it. Thank you. That's very, very interesting. And that's interesting advice coming from you, too. I think it's practical advice. Whether you are, in fact, or are not seeing and talking to somebody who others perceive not to be there, it's wise counsel to say you're going to want to keep this to yourself. Otherwise, in the real world, you're going to run into all kinds of problems, right?
Absolutely. They'll put you in the loony bin sometimes. I suppose I shouldn't say it like that, but that's not politically correct. But there's a lot of people in mental institutions that
are not really crazy. Sometimes they just have entities that are either attached to them on the outside or shoved in, and it changes their personality, but they themselves are not crazy. It's
exactly
sad.
And also, Art, I wanted to get this in. With first wave indigos, a lot of them have a lot of what I call X-Men abilities, and they shut them off because it scared people. They could do amazing, amazing things, but they shut it off because it scared people. And so then they come to me, and I have to help them work through the fear of that and turn them back on, because they're supposed to learn how to use them, not shut them off.
Right. With respect to the bin, how have you all stayed out?
In say what?
I said with respect to the bin.
The recycle bin?
No, the loony bin.
The loony bin?
Yeah,
right. So many bins.
I mean, you're giving this guy advice to tell his daughter to keep quiet. It's good advice. So,
Art, we stayed out of it the same way you stayed out of it.
All right, to Texas, Lance, save us.
I don't know if that's possible.
That's right.
My question was, I've done a lot of reading on this subject, and I'm right on board with what you women talk about and what you say is what things are. And what my curiosity has always been is, someone dies and they've passed on, and it's talked about how, you know, we have spirit guides to kind of help us and keep us moving in the direction we should in this life and what have you, and sometimes try to help keep us out of harm's way. So when a person passes over, I don't understand why they seem to get stuck and there's not a spirit guide or an angel that would, you know, could give them some advice or guidance to get them where they need to go. Why would someone want to get stuck here when they have such a limitless place to be able to move on to? That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. It's not like they want to get stuck. They can't help it because they have so much fear. It's the fear that keeps them down. It's the anger or the resentment or the unresolved issues that keeps them in a lower vibrational state, so they don't get to see the tunnel. So it's not like they have a choice, I want to stay in this blue-gray place. It's like, I don't know where I am. I'm confused. And then we find that a lot of people that die of drug overdoses, they all kind of congregate in the same blue-gray place. It's just odd. And people that die of military things, they're congregating in this military-type area.
It's like a magnet that attracts them to different places.
Yeah, because like thoughts attract like thoughts. So they don't really want to. That's why we're trying to help people to learn about this so they don't become ghosts, you know?
Now, I got another question. Someone that is interested and would like to be able to speak with, like the two of you, do y'all ever do any kind of workshops, or is there any way to be able to actually be able to sit in front of you and be able to ask you questions and understand more about the goings-on of, I guess you could say, life and death in a one-on-one conversation?
All right. Listen, sir, listen on the air for your answer. It's coming. Go ahead, please.
First of all, the reason we wrote the book, it was to help people to bust their own ghosts so that they can read the book and it has a how-to. But we
wanted to teach a class on the Ghostbusting 101, but we haven't done it yet. But we could get enough people over there wherever you are, and we'll come.
All right. So I guess make it and they will come, huh?
That's right. Exactly. That's a very good way of saying it.
Keith in Oklahoma, you're on with the Ghostbuster ladies.
Hey, Art, Mega Roswell's to you.
Thank you.
I've got two quick questions. One is, you always hear about these haunted places that have children, and I hate to think that children don't get a free pass to the other side. So what can you say about that?
Yeah, all right. Well, they don't get a pass to the other side in all cases. One of the first child ghosts I came across was a young boy about 4 years old, and it was at the Glover Mansion. And what happened was he was always told not to play by the windows, the upper floor windows. And he didn't listen. And so he actually fell out the window and died. And because he was, his last thought was, Mummy and Daddy won't love me anymore. And I could see him so clearly. He had little knickers on and a white shirt and suspenders. And the thought, Mummy and Daddy won't love me anymore, is what kept him stuck because he did something wrong and he was guilty. And what I had to do for him was I called his parents back. I mean, what better way to help the child cross? And his parents came back and brought him through the tunnel. And he stopped to say goodbye. A lot of ghosts just go. But he was so cute because he turned and he said, thank you. It's like, wow.
Wow.
So, yeah, sometimes children that die in extreme situations like fire or suddenly can sometimes get stuck.
Okay, and my second question is, if you guys don't believe in demons, then what are these things that priests are driving out of people?
Yeah, good question. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great. Yeah, because, you know, the fact that you're saying that exorcisms have risen, I heard 700% lately.
That is correct.
Yeah. And so those, as far as we're concerned, they're shove-ins. They're not really demons. They're souls that shoved into human beings and were just creating all sorts of terrible things.
But that doesn't mean that there aren't alien shove-ins that somebody would perceive as a demon. Because that's a very good point. Very strange, bizarre alien being that shoves in. People would perceive that as a demon if it didn't look like a humanoid.
Oh, look, in real life, forget the other side. This side, you see an alien, and it's probably going to be so different that you're going to perceive it if it's,
exactly,
you know, as a demon anyway, if it's in your world to do that.
Exactly.
If you're a very
yeah.
religious person,
and
you're going to look at it that way.
Exactly. People are so predisposed to that and so judgmental that
absolutely.
They perceived everything that they don't understand is bad and dark and evil. And sometimes it is, sometimes it's not.
Especially
all right, well, here's another
lizard.
One. Yeah, loser. Here's another one for you, ladies. I do a lot of shows on EVPs because, I don't know, they seem so real. And I really honestly believe a lot of them are real. But what I wanted to bring up is, in greatly disproportionate numbers, EVPs seem to be in child's voices. It's very disturbing. Can you help me at all?
Well, now, I know that when we did the Amargosa,
right.
Kathy's husband would go there and play the guitar to the ghosts, and he left his tape recorder on. And one of them at the end said, what did he say?
Thanks, y'all.
Love y'all.
Really?
Just very clear. And so, you know, all EVPs aren't
child's voice?
Distress or child's voices. Right.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, the quick story about EVPs, we did the show Dead Famous. It's a TV show from the BBC. They actually came all the way over here from England. And they came to Spokane, and they had a resident psychic doing their work. And so they took us on a tour of a very haunted place, the Bing Crosby Theater. And we went down in the basement, and we would point out where we felt that there were ghosts. Over here, not over here, over here, all through the place. And when we were done, they then told us that their host had taken his little EVP meter and found ghosts at the exact same place that we had pointed out. We just don't use that kind of a meter. But I don't think there were child voices on them. So that's all we have to say about that.
Well, in so many of the ones I've heard, the EVPs, it's disproportionately children. And it's, I don't know, it's just very concerning. Let's go here to Rob in Florida. Hi, Rob.
Hello. How you doing tonight?
Pretty well. Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question there.
Do you ladies pick up on any spirits from the hollowed earth?
The hollowed earth.
Yeah, the hollowed earth. That's right. There are a lot of people who believe that the earth is hollow.
You know, I'll say yes.
You will?
I will.
Wait one moment.
I don't believe that the earth is actually hollow. I do believe that there are there's an inner earth beings that reside there, and many years ago I did have a connection with one of them.
Oh my. Well, it's not hell though, right?
No. No, it's not hell, and the earth really is not hollow. But there are subterranean levels that go down. Some people think they're under lakes in Alaska. I mean, I've heard a lot of under Mount Shasta, you know,
right.
The Middle Earth people. But it's not like they're down, you know, the earth is molten lava. I mean, that's science. We may be a little on the woo-woo side, but we believe in science.
A little on the woo-woo side. Huh? Oh, you girls
okay,
are
okay, a
all
big
right.
on the woo-woo side, okay.
Vicki in Michigan, hello there.
Hi, how are you all tonight?
Very well, thank you.
I have a question. I have a 6-year-old granddaughter who lately has been talking to an imaginary friend. Now, I don't know if this is something she's made up. If it's something that, if it is a real imaginary friend that she's talking to, how can I help her develop this and keep her from being afraid? Because she's been woken up in the middle of the night before by so-called imaginary friends.
Well, you know, a lot of parents say it's nothing. There's nobody there. And they train their child out of being able to see such things. And I'm not sure what the right thing to do is, ladies.
You know, at 6 years old, my guess is that she's a crystal child. And some of our youngest clients have been crystal children. We've had a young boy starting from the age of 6 to about 10. And they are magnets for things. So the best thing you can do is, A, assume that she is talking to somebody, but, B, teach her how she can protect herself. We use these rocks, believe it or not, the almorocyte rocks. We set up grids to kind of keep out the riffraff, as they call it.
Yeah, but not everybody has ET rocks.
No. Well, they can get them on our website.
They can?
They can, yes. Come on over. Get your ET rocks.
Get your rocks now.
I would have said something, but we're on the radio. I'm not going to say it.
No, don't say it. I know what it would be.
I know
don't
you do.
Say it. Don't say it. All right, we're going to break here. This is Dark Matter in the Middle of the Night from the high desert and the great American Southwest. I'm Art Bell. Absolutely a terrific program underway with the Ghost Gals. Actually, technically, the Ghostbuster Gals. And I very much appreciate it. We've gone all over the map tonight, and happily so. So back to it we go. Ladies, you're back on the air again, and your crowd awaits. Boy, the lines are full.
Okay.
Let's go to Ohio, and John. John, hi.
How you doing?
Very well.
I have a question, and it's more like a statement. My wife's Wiccan. I'm Native. I noticed a lot of the beliefs and practices are the same. Are they related or intertwined in one way or the other?
I'm not sure what you're asking. Intertwined with what?
Are they the same beliefs, practices, and like that?
Yes, absolutely. I do a lot of Native work myself, and of course, Laura Lee's Wiccan.
I'm sorry, I missed it. He meant Native American and Wiccan. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I got that.
I'm sorry, I'm the dummy who didn't get it. So they are related.
Well, yeah, there's a honoring of the earth and a love of the earth in both of those philosophies.
And actually, when you think about a witch, if you go to Loralee's or our website, GhostbusterGals.com, she has the description of what a witch is. Right. And when I read that, I went, oh, my gosh, I'm a witch. No, I'm an angel girl.
That was enlightening.
But it is. It's an honoring of the earth herself, giving homage and in both of those philosophies.
Do you gals know Evelyn Paglini?
Yeah, I haven't heard from her for a long time, but yeah, I used to write to her like, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago.
Used to have her on the show a lot.
She's awesome.
She's going to be on again. I've got her scheduled.
Oh, good. That is awesome.
She's great.
She's really something. Now, she tends to be on the darker side, and she talks about combat. Which she's been in, and I mean spiritual combat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So you're aware with that sort of segment of things?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. I do that.
Loralee does combat all the time, but she's combating the dark forces.
Uh-huh.
Not the dark matter, but the dark forces.
Yes, yes, I understand. Is it possible to ruin somebody's life?
With magic?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it happens all the time. I wrote an article in one of Brad Steiger's books mm-hmm. about black magic and how people literally get away with murder by doing dark sorcery and black magic and never... It's like, what court of law is going to say, oh, so-and-so put a spell on my client and now they're dead?
Someday it may happen.
Someday. It's not happening now.
Brad and Sherry Steiger, by the way, very good friends.
They are awesome. I love that couple. They're just incredible. And so, you can do some serious damage through magic. Absolutely.
And curses.
And it happens all the time.
A lot of people think that's as much baloney as what they've been calling otherwise for tonight. And I don't think it is.
I was married
to a Wiccan, so I know.
Mm-hmm. They think it's baloney until it happens to them, and then it's not baloney and it's not funny.
That's right. Steve in Canada, way up north, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. Roswell's to you. Thank you for taking my call, and good evening, ladies. What I'd like to know, I have a kind of a two-sided question. Back in the mid-90s, I was involved in an industrial accident in which left me vital signs absent three times in a row on the way to the trauma center. During that time, I had no recollection of anything, when I was gone. However, afterwards, I was visited by Art, what you refer to as shadow people. This happened to me on four different occasions immediately after, during my recovery, which was quite extensive. From that point on, I never had any conversation, so to speak, with them. They were just there. It was, very defined. Usually happened early in the morning. Their shapes were very defined, but no features to speak of. Anyway, from that point on, to this very day, while I'm asleep or just before I'm going to sleep, I have this way of quieting my mind. And when I quiet my mind, I tend to get a lot of, it's almost like a whole bunch of people are talking to me and a whole bunch of faces start coming into my view. And it's like they're trying to, they're asking questions. It's crazy. It's really hard to describe. But I find if I tell them leave me alone or quiet, settle down, they'll stop. But like the next night, it'll happen again. And so what I was wondering is, would a near-death experience or a VSA experience, would that bring on some kind of sensitivity toward this stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just read Danny Brinkley's book. He wasn't psychic at all until he had his near-death experience. And I think what happens, I mean, this is my take on it, is when you die, sometimes the soul will pop out of the body, but then you don't really die and it pops back in again. And I've actually seen this. The soul will pop out and pop back in and pop back out. But when it's popping out, you're in a different dimension, really, probably like a fourth dimension type thing. But it's a higher dimension than here, and it can create a sensitivity. Now, I've also had situations where I close my eyes and I see those faces. Sometimes they're astral beings, and sometimes they can be ghosts that are trying to communicate with you. It just depends on if you're feeling like an astral being will try to scare you because they feed on the fear. So I just laugh and I love them, and then they go away. But sometimes because of your sensitivity, it can be trapped spirits that are trying to get your attention to help them.
Yeah, I was going to say I would listen to them and see what they're trying to tell you, and if you can't help them, maybe direct them to somebody that can if they need help. If they're just being annoying, and you know, then that's a different thing. But see if you can evaluate what they're trying to tell you and why they're there.
Yeah, because it's not like it's just like they're all talking at once. So it's kind of hard to discern any one in particular. Some do tend to come through stronger than others.
Tell them to have a spokesperson.
Yeah. So I was just wondering, is there anything you could refer me to refine it or maybe control it a little better?
No, if you read the book Got Ghosts, that will help you a lot because it has some really good tools to help you learn how to meditate better and clear your own energy field so that you get the garbage out and the Klingons out of your own field so that you can be more focused. So I would suggest you get the book. And Ronnie and I just discussed this in our last break. For all of your guests, Art Bell, that get one of our books, we're going to send you a free set of grid rocks to grid your house.
That's a special space rock with
almorocyte rocks.
Okay. Wow! Thank you. I'll be sure to get one.
Okay, but it has to
thank you for the
website.
Help.
Right, and thank you for the call, sir. Take care. Let's go to Washington. And Rock, your name is Rock?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good evening, and thanks for taking my call. My question is. Probably like 4 or 5 months ago, I was I drive truck and I was parking the truck in the new yard that we have, and I was I haul cars, so I was up chaining a car down, and I heard like little rocks being thrown, and then one hit the truck, and I kind of freaked out. There's nobody in the yard, but I seen a shadow moving around, and the gentleman that just called, he was talking about shadow people. Well, as of late, I see them a lot more. I mean, a lot more than just one or two. I mean, I'm saying, they're dark in between things. I see them, and, day or night. I thought it was just kind of my mind playing tricks on me. I'm not sure what it is, but, when the guy was talking about them, I figured I'd call and say I don't know what it is should I be thinking I'm going crazy or?
No, don't think you're going crazy, okay?
Now, what's happening is a lot of people are becoming a lot more psychic, and maybe stuff that you couldn't have seen 2 or 3 years ago, you're seeing now. And so my advice would be to just observe, go as neutral as you possibly can, and just observe it without, judging it or being afraid or whatever, and maybe see if you can communicate with whatever it is. And if it's being annoying and rude, just say, I don't have time for this. You got to go.
Yeah, the veils between the worlds, they're thinning. And that's why so many more people are having these kind of phenomena. They're more sensitive to it because the frequency on the planet has raised, which automatically raises us up, which means we're more sensitive to it.
Right. When I'm driving down the road, I see them walking down the highway, or I see four-legged beings going down. I mean, that kind of thing. I don't get freaked out or anything, but it's just like, You know, I can see them. You know, and it's like, yeah, my wife thinks I'm a little crazy, but
no,
I mean,
no, you're not a little. Listen, sir, you're all right. Ladies, I want to ask you about this. Let's just stop here for a moment. Years ago, I started this whole shadow people thing because I had a bunch of calls on the air about it, and people would tell me, you know, Art, in my peripheral vision, I see these things moving. And then pretty soon I had people saying, well, they've moved from my peripheral vision to my straight-on vision, and it started to get a little scary. I, too, have seen things in my peripheral vision, gals, and I call them shadow people for lack of any better name. I don't know what they are. I don't know why I'm seeing them, and I don't see them often. It's just happened, and it's startling. You see something out of the corner of your eye is a better way to put it, I guess. And it's real. I don't know what it is. You tell me.
It is real, and I know I've seen them too. I call them my guides and my angels. The angels sometimes, we have angels around us all the time. We are never, ever alone. They're supporting us. They're helping us. We also have guides. Guides are people that have been physical. That's the difference between a guide and an angel. A guide has had a physical life on this planet and now has chosen to not become physical but to support the people here. And I see them all the time. You know, sometimes it's a little sparkle. Sometimes it's that movement, but we're supported at all times. The other thing it can also
Ladies, what I'm sorry, what I see is dark. I wouldn't call them angels for a second. There's dark moving things in my peripheral vision. And if you want to call them angels, fine. But and maybe you're
dark.
Right. You're more into this than I am, but I don't see them as angels.
Well,
I'm sorry.
There's interdimensional beings. Is that where you're going to go with this, Ronnie? Right. What you might be seeing is beings that can go back and forth into dimensions, and you're just catching them while they're moving.
I would more easily buy that.
There's so many things that it could be. We'd have to, like, tune into each specific incident to find out what it was. Because maybe what you saw yesterday isn't what you're seeing today. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But you have
to
evaluate it and see if it's the same or if you're seeing something new. So, again, my advice would be to go in observation mode and don't shut it down. If you're waking up psychically, don't shut yourself down. Just watch it and ask your spirit guides and guardians to help you define it and figure out what's going on and what these things are and what they're there for. And
well,
maybe
it scares me a little bit. I'm not sure that I want to be as open as you all are. I don't want to see these things necessarily all the time. I do understand that there are people like yourselves that do and that sort of plunge into it and open up to it, and that's fine. That's why I have you as guests.
So maybe what you can say, Art, is, okay, duly noted, I saw you, and then go on about your business.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, I saw you. Okay.
You
know, this
maybe.
Might be a good time to bring up the fact that Laura Lee and I are both not afraid of what we do.
Clearly see that.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. I mean, I have my own reason, and I'm sure she has hers. But one of the things that I learned, and this was back in the 90s, and it was Danyon that helped me see this, is what they found, we know that nothing is solid, okay? Back in the 30s, they invented the electron microscope, and they could see that nothing is solid. Everything has space between it, between the atoms and the molecules. And towards the 90s, they're starting to develop that even more, and the scientists have said that, well, about 95% of everything is space. So if that's true, why don't we go through our chairs, and why don't we walk through walls? Well, we have an electromagnetic field that stops it. But we are space, you know, in between each of those atoms. And what Danyon had said is when they studied this space or this fabric of the universe that's holding everything together, it vibrates to the same frequency as love. And when I heard that, it changed my life.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Because I then took the word love and kind of extrapolated out to God. So as far as I'm concerned, God is in all things. There is no thing that is not God. So the shadow people and the ghosts and the so-called demons, they're all an expression of God. And so I can do my work in that loving place without the fear. So I just thought I'd share that.
I appreciate the sharing, but, you know, there have been some poltergeist slash ghost occurrences that have been not real godlike at all. They've been horrifying.
Well, I can understand that because I have a little different take on it than Ronnie. That's why I use the cosmic recycle bin so much, because things that are out of place and just raising havoc, they just need to get transformed. And so,
but the
for Ronnie, there is no recycle bin, right?
She lets me do that. I do the dirty work.
She does. You know, I either send them back to God or to give them to her. But poltergeist, maybe we should talk about that, because we have found in our experience that there is no such thing as a poltergeist. But what it is an indigo. Here, we're back to indigos again. Maybe having a little hissy fit, and because they are so
telekinetic,
yes, things go boom and bang and crash and crack,
right.
And it's not really another entity. It's
themselves.
Indigo. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sort of with you here. In fact, in most of these cases, there is a young child or a teenage girl.
Mm-hmm,
they seem to be
absolutely
troublemakers in more ways than one. Huh?
Yeah. Yes, and they crash things and they bang things and they create a lot of fear and they don't realize they're doing it, but they are.
Okay. All right. Florida brings Kelly. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Roswell's Art. Good evening, ladies. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, so here's my thing. I've recently begun experiencing some strange things. Some people that I've been talking to are saying that I'm a sensitive. And basically, here's what happened. A few years ago, I had a relative who was dying from cancer. And I would say about 2 weeks before she passed, I started becoming physically ill, sick to my stomach, you know, having all these horrible symptoms. And it wasn't a cold. It was different from a cold. Basically, one Saturday night, it just went away, and it was almost like a feeling of freedom. And when it disappeared, about an hour later, my mom called me and told me that she had passed away. So that was sort of odd. So I know that I have something going on here. Is there any advice that you can give me to help curb the physical experiences that I have? This is only one example. I mean, I've had this happen at least a dozen times since this one experience with my cousin. But is there any advice that you can give to someone, you know, because I know that it could be a gift. Right now it feels like a curse.
Well, one of the things that just popped in my head is to make sure that you're getting all the proper nutrition that you need. When Ronnie and I do ghost bustings, we always take colloidal minerals, because when you're running a lot of psychic energy, it depletes the minerals in your body. And so you're going to want to make sure that you take care of yourself, because when you go in psychic mode, you do really pull a lot of energy, and you want to build yourself back up.
And the other thing I suggest is, it sounds like because you are so sensitive, you're picking up energy cords from these people, because people can put energy cords in you, and then they can affect you. They can suck your energy. So there are protocols to cut those energy cords so they're not attached to you. And then the other thing I suggest is taking a look at what that cryogenetics egg looks like, because that is a protection. and that will suck off all the emotional debris that you've picked up. And as a sensitive, you know, you tend to pick up a lot. And it will keep you more calm, and it'll keep you more balanced.
Wonderful. That is excellent advice. Thank you. And, yes, I do use the – I use, like, a magic bubble type of thing, you know, to keep me protected mainly. Mm-hmm. And also just to – you know, because people can – like you said, you know, can psychically attack you without even really knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I do try that. And I am going to get your book. It sounds awesome. Thank you, ladies. Thank you very much, Art. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good night.
Right, take care. I want a magic bubble. Okay, let's see. Let's go to Philadelphia. Brotherly Love brings Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
Hello. Hey, hi.
Mike, don't do that. Don't do that, Mike. Yeah, I can barely hear you, Mike, so go ahead.
Okay, hi. This is Mike from Philadelphia.
Mike, get off of speakerphone.
Oh, okay.
We'll wait. No speakerphones. It's already bad enough.
Yeah.
Mike, are you there? I think Mike just disappeared into the egg.
Mm.
All right, let's move to Oklahoma and Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you doing, Art?
Just fine.
Nice to have you back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
This happened about an hour ago. I was switching on Sirius Radio back and forth between your program and Clyde Lewis, and he was doing a live thing at a place where the what the heck is that? The Zodiac Killer?
You're losing me. I don't know what you mean by Zodiac. He was doing a live thing with the Zodiac Killer. No,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't get that.
The ghost of the Zodiac Killer. They were doing a live program where this guy worked.
Okay.
Well, anyway,
let me imagine. Wait. Can I guess? Can I
Pardon
guess?
Me?
I said, can I guess?
Well, anyway, he got fired.
No, sir. Sir, hold it. Can I guess, please? Can I guess? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, can I guess? I'm going to guess anyway. I'm going to guess that he disappeared all of a sudden.
What I was trying to get to you is just they were doing this live remote there, and he got violently sick and everything. This happened about an hour ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking that your Ghostbusters would maybe want to take and follow up on this to see what happened to him, because he was sort of attacked by the ghost.
Okay. Right in the middle of the show, huh?
In the middle of the show, yeah. They ended up taking the whole show programming.
See, I knew it. I knew it.
Yep,
in other words, he just disappeared, right?
Exactly.
Okay, gosh, that was so
psychic,
hard.
Art.
That was hard. That was really hard.
Well, we're not taking it on. We don't
I hear
want to
you.
Disappear.
I hear you. I don't want to be the disappeared either. All right, girls, hold tight. We'll be right back from the high desert, Great American Southwest, Dark Matter, raging in the nighttime. All right, gals, welcome back. It is the Ghostbuster gals we've got with us this night, and we're all over the place with all kinds of things. But right now, we're center with, oh, my goodness, what's that name in Illinois? LaShawn, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right, LaShawn, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you, Art and Minnie Roswell?
Thank you.
And how are you doing tonight, ladies?
Great,
great. I have a situation here. I have my daughter. She moved into her own apartment. And there's been several things going on there. At night, there's somebody whispering her name in her ear as she's trying to sleep.
Oh, boy.
She's got someone turning the gas on after they go to bed at night on their gas stove.
Mm-mm.
And she has a 6-year-old son who actually talks with this spirit, and the spirit tries to get him to hurt himself.
Mm.
I'm thinking it's really, really weird. And actually, my grandson, he actually does not like staying at home. He's actually at my house now. Yeah. But they're really terrified of being in that apartment, and they've already signed a one-year lease. And is there any way they can get this spirit to move on or get it out of their home or whatever?
Oh, absolutely. Again, that's the reason we wrote the book, LaShawn, because, you know, if people hire us to do the ghost bustings, it can be pretty expensive. But we wrote the book, which is not really expensive at all, and it gives a step-by-step instruction on what to do to get rid of those ghosts, to protect the house, to clean out the energy. Some people think, oh, you know, you get some holy water and have a priest come and bless the house, but that does not get rid of the ghost. It just sends them away for a little bit, and then they come back. So with the book, it will actually help, and then we'll send the grid rocks, and they can your daughter can grid the place with these rocks, which are mind-boggling. I mean, before we had these rocks and tried to do ghost bustings, it was like going through Jell-O. It took so long, and it was so hard to do. Now with the rocks, it makes it that much easier. So
yeah, we used to get worn out before we started having our clients grid their houses with these little rocks before we would do a session. Now we won't do one at all. If people don't have the rocks, we don't do it. And that will certainly, if they get some rocks, if they get the book, and you know, maybe for the children, these rocks are also in dust form, and we have little necklaces, and that might help the children feel better at night. They'll have something to hold, and they can talk to their rock buddies, and help protect them. And there's things that you can do, but that ghost is way out of line. Turning on the gas, I mean that's not cool, and that needs
turning on the gas, trying to get somebody to harm themselves.
Yeah, that is not cool, and they need to be dealt with immediately.
So after you've done everything in there, LaShawn, after you've tried all the things and you've done it, you can sense whether it's changed or not. And if you still have a problem, just drop us an email.
Boy, I don't think you'd rest a moment until you figured it out. All right, Vicki in California, you're on with the Ghostbuster Gals. Hello.
Hi, Art, and mucho Roswell to you. I wanted to share a story and ask their opinion. Hi, ladies. I bought a house 21 years ago, and actually it's San Antonio, Texas. And I never really sensed anything going on in the house. The kids were always telling me that they would hear things and see things, and I just like told them, you know, it's just, you know, the wind, it's the doors, it's an old house. And back in 2006, my son was 14 years old, and I was in a dead sleep, had to get up at 5 in the morning. And in the middle of the night, something, it was like, you know, like a dream or a voice, it said, get up and go check on your son. And I said, oh, no, my kid's all right. And a couple of times, it was just like like something telling me, get up and go check on your son. I didn't do it. I was so tired. But something, like, I felt it on my arm, like pull or tug on my left arm. And I said, okay, what is going on here? Now, that did scare me. I got up and opened my son's door. And as I opened the door, okay, there was a little flame off of it. He had his floor lamp, and it was open on the top, and he didn't like the light being so bright, so he had a towel over it. Well, it started to flame as soon as I opened the door, and that freaked me out. And now I believe that they tell me that they still see, like, my daughter's 33 and at the house with my grandkids, and she says she still sees, like not an apparition or anything, but feels like someone's looking at her from the hallway. Mind you, I bought the house 21 years ago, and a lady named Hannah, I won't tell you the last name, did die. Not sure she died in the house, but she did die and pass, and her son sold me the house. Now, I don't think it's a me. If it is a spirit, do you think it's a spirit? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I don't know what to say either. Here's what I would say. I've got a six-year-old daughter. And if for 1 second, the moment the first wave of something is wrong with my daughter came over me, I would be out of that bed and in that other room so quick, your head would spin. I wouldn't wait for the second round. And I recommend you follow the same path next time.
Right. The thing is, it could be a couple different things. Sometimes it's an angel that comes to give you that warning. But it's also possible that it is a spirit. It could be the old woman that saw something going on and wanted to warn you. But it's really important to understand that there is no such thing as a good ghost. They may seem kind and benevolent and old lady-like and whatever, but it's not a good ghost because anytime you have a ghost, it changes the electromagnetic field in the area, which can lower the immune system. And also you have to understand that that ghost is trapped and lost and stuck and can't move on.
You and have just ruined everything I thought I knew about Casper.
He's the friendly ghost, I know.
There are no good ghosts.
There's no such thing as a good ghost. No.
That'll certainly resonate with me for quite a while. All right. Iowa, Don, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. I'm thinking that the master, Arthel, is making the Padawan nervous.
Thank you.
Mega Roswell. Concerning the EVPs.
Yes.
What y'all were just saying about the ghosts, you know, not necessarily being good or bad, you know, but maybe they're trying
no,
to...
No, 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 no. Don't get it mixed up. They said there are no good ghosts.
Well, okay, right. But they're coming across on the EVPs with the child's voice looking for help because, you know, as humans, you know, we're going to help a child in a heartbeat, whereas, you know, an adult, you know, yeah, we're still going to help them, but, you know, we're naturally drawn to help the young even more, and maybe that's why more of the EVPs seem to come across as a child's voice. It's just something to think about. Now,
no, it is. It is something to think about. Hold on, gals. Do you think that might be so? I did say there's a disproportionately large number of children's voices involved with EVPs. Could that be the reason? Because we are more inclined to help the young.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
We are. But I also think there's sometimes a little bit of a distortion and a frequency because you're going from one dimension into another in that EVPs. And sometimes what sounds like a child's voice may not necessarily be one.
Mm.
You know, it kind of depends.
I don't know. I know a child voice when I hear it.
Yeah. I guess you have a six-year-old. You would know that.
That's right. I would.
And there might be a lot of children that are stuck that have...
I hope not.
Yeah, well...
So, and maybe they're the spokesperson. That really felt true to me that we are more inclined to help children, and so they're the ones asking for help.
Of course. All right, caller is still on the line. Anything else, sir?
Yeah.
Well,
that's all. I just wanted to, you know, it's just something that I thought about. That, you know, yeah, you know, with those, you know, inclined to help a child. That, you know, that
right.
Maybe they're looking for help.
Got it. So, you're right, and I think you're dead on. So thank you to Canada and Bert. Hi, Bert.
Hello. How are you today?
Just spiffy.
Spiffy. Oh, yeah. That little woo-hoo? Yeah, me too. Question for you. About the indigos, you said that they have, like, X-Men abilities or gifts?
Correct.
You're talking, like, being able to move the wind and, hot and cold stuff, make people feel hot and cold and... things like that? Is that what you're talking about?
They can. Did you ever see the X-Men movies? They can do all that stuff. It depends on what their specialty is and what their contracts are here, and to depend on what kind of things that they can do the best.
Okay, so like floating and all that kind of stuff? Would the indigos also be like for healing, like healing touch and all that kind
of
stuff as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, that, there's a lot of healers that are indigos, and they do it different than other than has been done in the past. They do it their own way, and they're very proficient at it.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right,
yeah.
Well, that explains one thing. Okay. I was just wondering because you said it was late 50s, early 60s. A lot of indigos are
correct.
Were
a lot of them came in right, and then there's some that were in the 40s and 30s. Nikola Tesla was a first wave indigo, and he was way ahead of his time. And so there have been indigos, you know, dotting through history, but they came in mass. Now, so it's like we had to wait till the internet came into being before we could network with each other, and that's when most of them came in so they could be around during this time when we really can network with each other and make a difference here.
All right. Dan in Nebraska, you're on with the Ghost Gals.
God, I can't believe I actually got on your show.
Well, you have.
Since the early 90s, Art. Many Roswells.
Thank you.
I gotta tell you, you were talking about stories, but if I could just tell you this real quick, I don't know. I know I'll try to be quick, but I was staying with this girl, and her ex boyfriend was hopping trains out west, and he got killed. And we had went swimming, and came home that night, and went to bed about 9 o'clock. And I was laying in bed, and my girlfriend was laying with her back to me. And all of a sudden, I just got frozen. I could not move. I got scared. I got I was just panicky. And I looked at her, and I was yelling her name, and she didn't hear me. And then it kind of stopped for a second. And then I thought, okay, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, I got frozen again. And I fought it, and I jumped out of bed, and I went into like a karate stance, you know, because I was just panicky. And I looked right at the bedroom door, was an apparition of a young man in white, completely white, and he was just staring at me, and I could tell he didn't like me. And
well, I mean, this was your girlfriend's ex boyfriend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're lucky that that's all that happened. I mean, it could have been absolutely tragic, in many ways, which I won't go into. Texas brings Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Roswells.
Thank you.
I have two questions for your guests. First, they were talking about angels a lot. Ronnie and Laura Lee talking about angels, and I'd like to know a lot more about what they're saying about angels. And my second question, which I really need an answer for, I have a beautiful girlfriend. Her name is Heather, and she has a 6-year-old daughter who sees ghosts, and they've moved from 2 or 3 houses to kind of get away from these ghosts, and I'd really like to know if there's something we can do to protect her.
Okay.
Well, ghosts are everywhere. They just are. I mean, everywhere.
One would think that's true. I mean, we're a gigantic population, 6 billion on the planet or something, right?
Yeah.
And we're kicking the bucket all the time. Some of us, I suppose, are going on. Others linger. That's a bunch.
Well, in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, I mean, we've talked to ghosts that have been stuck for that long. They died in the battlefield or, you know, going across country to settle the country. They passed. And so, yeah, there's a lot of ghosts out there. So I don't think you're going to get away from them. The only thing you can do is get the knowledge.
What is it? Why are they? What's going on? You know, I hate to beat the drum about reading the book, but we wrote it for that reason, and then the rocks always help. But as a little crystal kid, because she's seeing them, you know, we worked with this one for so long to help him just detach because they're mm-hmm. magnets. So educate yourself.
Okay, you mentioned some of them are there for hundreds of years. You said that, right?
Hundreds, yeah.
Hundreds of years. So I would assume, which I probably shouldn't do, that on the other side, time is a different thing. We measure time here, but I kind of doubt it's measured over there as we measure here, is it?
Oh, you're so right. It does. No, there is no time. Time doesn't exist. It's only a third dimensional thing that we do linear time. And so sometimes hundreds of years doesn't feel like that to a ghost, that's for sure. And when we're on the other side, sometimes 200 Earth years pass before we decide to incarnate again. But it doesn't feel like it. So there is no such thing as time or space is a little different, too. That's how we can do remote ghost busting. We can remove ourselves from third dimension, go to the higher dimensions, and be anywhere, kind of like remote viewing, I guess,
mm-hmm.
And then contact the ghost in that way. So you're absolutely right. No time over there or here.
Well, that's good, because if I'm going to be stuck hundreds of years somewhere, I don't want to be looking at a clock. Dale in California, you're on the air.
Hi, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Evening.
I like your program. Just been listening to it ever since been on the air.
Thank you.
I have a question for the ladies on their thoughts on the Bell Witch from Tennessee. I've always found that just real interesting on the whole going on way back when.
Well, I'm certainly interested in any witch named Bell. So let's see what they know, gals.
I know nothing.
And me being a witch, I have heard about it, but I'm not real familiar with that. Wasn't that a movie?
Well, I'm hurt.
No, sorry.
I'm really hurt. All right. Hawaii. Hawaii, really. Sarah, hello in Hawaii. How are you?
Aloha, Art, and mega Roswells to you. And I'm calling in to ask these gals a question. Out here, you know, in the middle of the Pacific, that we get a lot of interesting things going on, like most other places. However, at night, when I go to bed and I'm laying there reading, and this happens nearly every night, I see what looks like big manta rays. They just kind of come in and glide through the ceiling and around the room. And sometimes they're black and sometimes they're gray and sometimes they're a real light color.
Kind of like they're swimming?
Yeah, you know how a manta ray will just glide through the water?
Yes,
well,
I do.
That's kind of what they do. I don't feel any hostile energy, and I often will say, what do you want? But I'm not getting any answers, or maybe I'm not really listening. I don't know.
Well, okay, so I used to have the same thing happen with dolphins. And sometimes whales, because I'm connected with both of them and have seen them, you know, in the wild and had telepathic communication. And what I'm sensing is it's the same thing for you with these manta rays, because they're very intelligent creatures. I swam with them in the Grand Cayman. They're phenomenal. They're gentle. They're lovely. But they're in trouble, just like all the ocean creatures. We're, you know, I don't want to get on my soapbox, but we're polluting the ocean terribly. And
well, they're taken to air swimming. They must be in a lot of trouble.
It's their spirit, or it's the spirits of them. But they're coming to tell you they just want support and they want help.
Oh, okay. That never occurred to me at all. And I'm right here, right near the volcano over here. And I didn't know if that electromagnetic field just pulls in a lot more stuff or not.
Yeah,
that is
it
a good
could.
Question.
I would also maybe do a little activism and see if they go away. If you start, like Ronnie said, they need help. So perhaps if you, in your spare time, you can, you know, sign petitions or whatever to help these manta rays. And I think you're going to get really connected to them, like Ronnie is with the whales and the dolphins. I think you have a real connection to that, those life forms and to their energy. And so I would just pursue that because obviously they're coming to connect with you, and I'm sure that you're going to find a good synergistic symbiotic relationship with them.
Yeah. All right, manta rays or dolphins or cats or dogs, ladies, is it your view they have souls?
Absolutely.
Heck yes.
They sure do. And
good answer.
Yes. And when they cross, we've crossed many an animal ghost. They cross through the Rainbow Bridge process. But when we die, they're there to meet us. Because anything that we've loved and has loved us is there to greet us on the other side. It's like a big party. So it's nice. And they do have souls, and I've talked to them.
And we have a chapter in our book on pet ghosts.
Right.
That's really cool.
All right. Very quickly, Mike in Pennsylvania somehow made it back. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, I'm back. Hey.
And now you're not on a speakerphone, right?
No, I took it off. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Roswell. All right, first time calling. This is a problem. Good evening. Good morning, ladies. All right, this is a problem I've had since I was a kid. I've been trying to talk to people about it, getting different stories. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, my brothers sent me down, they were playing in their room. They sent me down to get some water. And when I got to the top step and I looked down, there's Jesus. So, the picture frame that you'd see of Jesus, the white robe with the red sash. And I was like, okay. I just stood there and I was like, who are you? And the figure or whatever was down there would just beckon with his hand. Just like beckoning me to come down steps. And so I said, what do you want? And no words, just beckoning. And I couldn't see anything behind it. No, I couldn't see the furniture. Nothing. It was all just black. So I started going down a couple steps. And then I stopped and thought, why am I going down the steps? So I tossed a cup down the steps and went right through it. And it just continued.
You threw a cup at Jesus?
I threw a cup at Jesus. I was 7. There were bowl at 7. So it didn't fade. It just continued to beckon. So by the fourth step down from the top, I said, you know what? Maybe I need some backup. And I started screaming.
Backup? Jesus? Yeah. You're lucky you didn't get vaporized.
Well, I used to pray every night for angels to come to the house and stand at my windows and at my doors and on the roof.
I
used to just blanket the house with angels, and then I see this vision, and I'm like, okay. So I'm screaming at the top of my lungs for my brothers. I'm 3 feet away from the door where they're at, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. I hear them talking, and nothing, not a, what's going on? So I was like, you know what? This is too much for me. So
all right, we got to wind this up quickly, so we're out of time. So
they went, I stopped, broke eye contact, went to my brothers, came back, and I looked down. I told them there's something downstairs, and I could see the living room now. Jesus was gone. And it freaked us out. We checked the whole house. Now, at that same exact spot where I saw Jesus, several days later, my older brother was in the living room playing with his little cars and everything, and he saw...
All right, I'm sorry. We're going to have to stop the story right there. We're just out of time. We've got to take a break because we're coming to the end of everything. But you know, if I saw Jesus, I don't think I'd call him that and it and stuff like that. If I really knew that this was a classic, I've seen him before in the pictures, Jesus, and he was beckoning, I wouldn't throw a cup at him for sure. We'll be back. All right. Back to it we go, ladies. I have run myself properly out of time. It's pretty bad. I'm sorry that it has gone so quickly. It just like that, and the show's over. I can't believe it. It has been such a joy and an honor to have you on. And once again, I want to say that I admire you for what you did. I feel that I don't know. You went the extra 100 miles for me. Thank you so very much. And I'm sorry for, you know, what happened to you. But again, I think that you have integrity that I really admire. And I want to give you a chance to plug your book because of that. So plug away.
Oh, thank you, Art. And the other way you can make it up to us is have us on again because we had so much fun.
Oh, we will. I guarantee. It was too
great.
Much fun.
Thank you. So the book is Got Ghosts, The Bizarre But True Tales of the Ghostbuster Gals, and it includes a do-it-yourself ghostbusting guide, and you can get it at our website at www.ghostbustergals.com. Our other site is ghostbusterstories.com, where you can sign up for our free newsletter that we send out to people. Amazon does have it, but like Art pointed out, if you want it signed and you want your free grid rocks, you can get it at ghostbustergals.com.
Yes, your free grid rocks.
But you have to mention this show or you don't get the free grid rocks. Yeah.
Really? Okay, well, that's easy enough. So you just mentioned dark matter. But again, I think a lot of people really love autographed stuff, so I'm thinking you're going to do pretty well. And that website, one more time, please.
Ghostbustergals.com.
All right.
Site.
Women of Integrity. Thank you so very much. And we'll do it again, ladies.
Awesome. Thank you, Art. It's been great. You have a good night.
Good night. That's it, folks. I'm sorry, we're out of time. For those who are asking, many people ask, who is that angelic voice at the end of your program? This is Crystal Gayle, and she sang this song for me many years ago. And Midnight in the Desert. That's the lady with the really long hair, Crystal Gayle.